across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
I've been having some weird experiences for the past several years.
Speech Radio with a difference.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. The microphone's over there somewhere. Hello, there you are. Hello, cheeky. Oh, well, here we are. Hey, Tuesday. And for fans of Ian Lee, of which I would imagine there is, as a result of tonight's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, an ever-increasing number, welcome to the show. It's me, Rupert Hound, standing in for Ian Lee, as ever here with Kath.
Yay!
Yay!
Happy Kath.
old Happy Kath, as she's known in the trade.
Good life, Kath.
Yes. Well, I mean, is this show now going to be that we spend the first hour talking about I'm a Celebrity? Because it feels like we can't not, in a way, because we've obviously just been watching it. I'm imagining many of the people who are listening and are regular listeners to this show have probably been watching it too. They trailed it at the beginning of the episode as, could this be redemption? And it did seem to go a bit that way.
Yes.
The boy done good.
He did really, really well. And honestly, this is a man who had a panic attack last time he did Go Ape. So I was worried, but I didn't want to say it out loud to anyone. And I know that a lot of people close to him were extremely worried, thinking that they were going to get a phone call saying he'd tapped out.
Right.
Because, you know, it was one of his major fears, and after what happened last time with the solo task,
yeah. You
know, you can only take so many knocks, and we wouldn't have been surprised or disappointed in him if he'd said, no, it's too much.
Yeah.
But he did it, and boy, did he do it.
Well, speaking as somebody who isn't his best friend, I think we would have been a bit disappointed if he tapped out.
I wouldn't.
Don't get me wrong, we all want to feel kindly about people, and those folk who, you know, find themselves in genuinely precarious situations, which they struggle to deal with mentally, of, you know, you want to be kind to them, but as a viewer of that show...
<You swine.
laughs> Well, but that's the gig.
It is the gig.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I've got posters on my wall or her books on my bookshelf, but Katie Price, when she did it, I think just like every day for about 10 days got put up for the worst things. And it really was the public saying, we like seeing this woman be tortured.
Yeah, but she was kind of the Becca Vardy of that series, wasn't she, Katie Price?
No. I think people have got a bit of a soft spot for Becky, even though she is... Let's be honest, you know, I'll use terms which I would argue against in many ways, but just the shorthand of it, she's the sort of miserable cow, feisty, you know.
I really like her,
woman.
But yes, she is. She's
you know what I mean?
Mardy, like, isn't she?
But that's, when you're editing that show, when you're making that show, when you're working out what version of what happened in the camp is going to be put on television, you've got to give people characters, and those characters have to kind of play out, and then those characteristics are challenged as it goes on.
Let's go through them then.
Oh, what are the characters?
Right, so it's Amir is the puppy, right?
Well, Amir is the puppy slash unreconstituted male.
Yes.
You know? I think in a funny kind of way, there is culturally some things about people from different cultural backgrounds than the white Judeo-Christian Middle England background that I think as outsiders we can look at and say, how do they feel about women, or what is the role of women in the society that, you know, has brought many of our finest citizens to us?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a few touches of, well, the man does this and I'm a man and men don't cry and things like that. Listen, I'm not saying that's solely about faith or religion.
It might be a little bit to do with someone who punches other men for a living.
Exactly. I mean, there's a whole spate of things that inform who that gentleman is. But I think, you know, it's interesting to see that play out. And it will, I think, people's warm feeling about Amir will come if he can park some of that as it goes on, because he's actually in the presence of people who will call him on it, and he will be forced to recognise that there are incredibly capable women who don't need to be told how many logs to put on a fire, especially if they're from Scotland, where it's bloody freezing.
Also, he's already learning. He's learnt yesterday that we have a female prime minister. In fact, we've had two.
I know. So, I mean, it's a learning experience. So, therefore, you know, unreconstructed male, can his journey be that by the end of it, he has softened maybe some of his feelings about women. Mm. That, to me, feels the role he has been cast in. Those are the bits of Amir that we get shown on television.
Yeah.
Is his confusion about what women are capable of.
Okay, what about Jamie?
Jamie Vardy is...
No, Lomas.
Oh, Jamie Lomas.
I always
yes,
said
course.
Jamie Vardy as well. Why?
Well, because Rebecca Vardy's in it and... I'm a moron. Jamie Lomas, his character is...
Beefcake.
Beefcake... lovable big brother.
Yeah.
He's your, or at least he's your brother's best mate.
So you're allowed to fancy him.
You're allowed to fancy him a bit. He's an easy man to have a bit of a crush on. He's there for the ladies. He's one of the lads.
But he's a big old bear, really.
He seems like a pretty decent, down the line, normal bloke's bloke.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't hurt him that he's also very good looking.
Yeah. He's raped. So who's
Kath,
next?
Kath, over here. you just disappeared off into the middle distance.
Little
there.
Jamie Lomas. Moment.
Back on the radio.
What about little Dennis Wise?
Little Dennis Wise.
I see him as a sort of terrier.
Yeah, he is. I think the likable PE teacher.
Although I think he's got a temper.
Well, the trouble with professional sportsmen, I say the trouble, you in all sorts of walks of life, especially in the walk of life of being a professional sportsman, probably not really a problem.
Yeah.
But there is a thing about competition and about wanting to win. I always remember Carl Fogarty on I'm a Celebrity being like, I used to win everything and now I don't have anything that I win at and I just want to win this because I want to win something. Yeah. And he was so overt about it that it became quite a likeable characteristic in a funny kind of a way because at least he was very honest about it. And I can't remember who else he was on with that series, but I sort of remember the general feeling in the country was, well, I don't know if I want him to win or not, but at least he wants to win. I might as well vote for him above and beyond anyone else.
Let's give him a little run out.
Yeah, exactly. Put a smile on that little wrinkly face.
Like having a retired greyhound. Take it out for a good long run.
Yeah. Yeah, find a three-legged rabbit for it to chase after.
Otherwise it's going to destroy the house.
Yeah. Mum's just put those curtains in. We better let him win.
Right, so that's the blokes, isn't it? Oh, Stanley.
Well, Stanley, I mean, this is the trouble is, I think maybe you and I are slightly out of step with how the rest of the nation feels about Stanley.
I watched the Extra Camp last night,
which
to my despair was about campsites rather than, woo, Extra Camp. But, it was very, very clear that the younger generation who aren't maybe, I'm going to suggest, maybe this is a, you know, it's a sweeping generalisation, but I think it's fair, as in touch with politics as everyone else, see him as a sweet old granddad. In fact, I think those were the words that we used.
Right.
I don't. I think he's a redoubtable man who has worked his way up the greasy pole of politics, knows how to manipulate people because he will have been doing that for years and years and years. He's well read. I don't believe all the bumbling. I don't believe it. How can you be that bumbling and write? I mean, he's written 20-odd books, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And taken prizes for you know, his knowledge of the environmental sciences and stuff like that. Don't buy it. I think he's playing a very clever game.
Well, that's how you and I feel, but it's
Wily
just
old fox.
Massively out of step with how everyone else feels about him. All right, yeah, so he's the lovable old granddad, but we do see little flashes of, you know, the self-serving, everybody's fine as long as you do what I say. I find his sort of twinkly relationship with Toff a bit hard to swallow.
Mm.
The fact that she's so... sort of...
She's enthralled, isn't
enthralled
she?
Enthralled by... Yeah, that's exactly the word I was searching for. God damn it, Kath. Sometimes you just...
It's the old Jedi mind trick.
It is. You're just better than I am.
Shut
it's
up.
Very troubling. As an unreconstructed male, the fact that you prove yourself capable of this, I find very challenging.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
It's outrageous.
A woman who's read books and stuff.
Take a few of those logs off that fire.
Why? Because I didn't put them on.
Is that all the men? And then Ian. I suppose we could talk about where Ian's at.
Well, I think I'm biased.
I think you are. I think
He's fringy, isn't he? He's not one of the lads.
He's definitely not a lad. Yeah, he's not the laddie lad. Is he the...
Well, his best mate is a 5'6" northern bint. For a start.
I'm thinking, who does that describe in the camp? Oh, no, you
this
mean
guy.
In real life. Yes, sorry. Literally the only person I can see in the universe. That should have been an easier one
actually,
for me to get.
Him being friendly with Shappy, I wonder how tall she is.
What, you think Ian...
I think she might be substitute me.
Do you think Ian qualifies who can be his best friend in the same way that Thorpe Park works out who can go on the rides? He just carries a yes. measuring stick around
yes,
with him.
Yes, I do. He does like to point it out quite a lot, how tiny I am.
You must be this tall to be my friend.
To ride this ride.
to ride the friendship coaster.
It is a coaster.
Yeah. Oh, there are ups and there are downs. Yeah, I think, is he the sort of nerd?
Yeah.
You know, the sort of slightly spotty one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's certainly not at the front. He's at the front of the bus rather than back, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
On the school bus.
Yeah, well...
No, maybe in the middle.
Yeah, I think he's the kid who's...
He can flick a spitball like everyone else.
Yeah, well... Or is he just the kid that tells the big kids to flick a spitball and when the big kids get in trouble, he goes, what, it had nothing to do with me.
I think it's the other way around. I think the sports guys would tell him to do it.
Yeah, and he'd...
He'd go along with it.
I don't know. I think Ian ends up in that category that is those people whose media persona and their actual real life, the lines have become so blurred that... Who he really is always a little bit on. Mm. And then some people see that as being a bit false or not being real. No, that is really what he's like. I mean, you know him. So do you think the man that we're seeing in the camp is...
I think it took me about 2 years to know him.
Right.
If I'm going to be honest. I remember when I first met him, I thought he was nice. I thought, I don't think I really will ever know him properly.
Yeah.
That's cool. We're only work friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes a while for him to trust people, I think. Yeah. And... he's quite a complicated character, and I think he's a very you've seen it, he's a very sensitive soul, and I think it takes a lot for him to let someone in.
But
he's a fun guy for most people.
He's a fun guy. He's a mushroom of a human being.
Yeah.
I think he did himself plenty of favours tonight in both A, overcoming his fears, and B, you know, I'm always quite interested when, because the lads are the lads in a way.
Yeah.
Ian, to my mind, is, well, maybe Ian and Jamie a little bit, but are the men who can talk to women kind of most easily.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Dennis is doing that too. We're just not seeing it. I don't know. Who's to say? But it feels that. I don't know, there's an openness.
Yeah, I think so.
To Ian. I mean, you see it in his relationship with Shappy, albeit I would say Shappy in their relationship is the senior partner.
Bless her.
Yes, okay, so should we do the girls?
Yeah, go on, let's go through them.
And by the way, if you disagree with what I'm saying, you know, I'm only saying that this is the cast of characters as I see them being cast.
Oh, by the way, you can join in too if you're listening.
No, you can't.
You can.
Don't tell them the phone number.
There you
do
go.
Do not tell them to call in on 03444991000.
Don't you tell me what to do. There's some camp conflict.
Yeah.
And this time I do mean camp.
Yeah. Just because I'm wearing this unicorn top and a tutu doesn't mean you have to disregard everything I say.
Yeah.
Certainly also don't text in on 87222, starting your text with the word talk.
Why? Because it's none of their business.
It's none of their business. We know the last thing we want is you joining in and ruining it. neither should you tweet at Talk Radio. Yeah, there you go.
Right, Becky Vardy.
Yeah, well, sort of grumpy cow. And look...
But isn't she the sort of person who you would love to get a laugh out of?
Yeah, look, I don't really think it's particularly pleasant when we use the word cow about women, but I just mean in terms of the archetype... The jokes about her, the Ant and Dec make, oh, yeah, she was cross with this one, cross with that one.
Yeah.
So, but I think she's, what we're seeing on the show is a lot more than that as the kind of character type.
And she opened up as well today about sort of mental health and things that she's been through in her past. And she's been through some horrible stuff.
Right.
And I think that makes the woman... You know, guarded, and so she doesn't wear her heart on her sleeve. She doesn't wear her happy face on her face.
But this is, I mean, this it seems to me the problem that women face in the world is, you know, the ideal for generations has been to be a pushover and just yes and very quiet and do as you're told. And now when women are like, no, screw you.
Yeah.
This is what I want. So let's have that instead.
Good for her.
Then it's all a bit grumpy, all a bit much, a bit fierce.
It's an extension of smile, love, it'll never happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Who are you to tell her that she's got to paint a smile on all the time? You know, because if women do that, I would suggest, like Toff, they can come over a bit silly and a bit, you know, a bit soft. I know Toff is really young, but I don't believe she can be that chirpy all the time. I just don't.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I think that there's a way through life, which I have met people who genuinely do have this, which is... jolly hockey sticks, off we go. No point being down about anything. It will accomplish nothing. Our fuel is just to brush aside the bad and focus on the positive. And then when people go, no, but there are some genuine negatives here, they go, no, I'm not listening to that. Carry on.
Yeah.
So it is, in a weird way, that perkiness is a kind of strength. It's the way that they fuel themselves.
A determination to,
I interviewed Annika Rice the other week. For a different radio show.
How dare you?
I'm sorry! Please, Kath! Not the face! and we were talking, you know, about some serious stuff. And some of the things that came up felt quite serious and quite heavy. And when I would try and press her on those things, she was like, well, it just happens, doesn't it? And I was like, yeah, but let's talk about that. Well, you know, people change. Right, but what do you think was going on at that time? Well, I mean, it wouldn't be for me to say.
I don't believe they don't think about that stuff.
Well, I don't believe they don't think about it, but I think that if you can say Ian's coping mechanism is put on a brave face and to make jokes or to be very sarcastic and not to, you know, rather than say, I feel scared, to go, nope, this is the best thing I've ever done. Couldn't be happy to be here. This is really safe. This is really safe.
Well, you know who is convincing there?
Well, quite. No, but that's, I mean, that's entirely it. But I think that if you can say that's his coping strategy, I think that Toff's coping strategy is just... Why bother trying for a moment to analyse what is bad about this situation? Let's instead focus all of our attention on what's good about it, because if we stay positive, this will be easier for all of us.
Man, you're good. I hate you.
Well, I'm here to be hated.
That's an excellent thing to say. Right, who else we got? Have we got time?
We can go to the break a bit late.
What about Shappy?
I think Shappy's doing the... I think she might have the slight kind of earth mothery kind of. She's the wise one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that she's the mother of the camp. I don't think she's taking. You know, you've seen in previous years somebody becomes a maternal role, always fussing over people and are you all right and checking in with them that way.
Yeah,
that's not Shappy's style. Shappy just very quietly one-on-one goes, well, I think you did really well. She deals with people one-on-one and seems to be able to give them sort of a pretty decent steer and a pretty kind word when they need it.
Yeah.
And doesn't make a big kind of song and dance about it.
I wonder if anyone's doing that for Shappy, though.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't... I think she slightly presents herself as not overly needing that.
Mm.
And actually... In her life, having known her some years ago when we were doing a lot of the same gigs and things together, she definitely has needed that. But even I, watching that show, think, oh, maybe you found a place where you're a bit more centred or you've got a bit more self-esteem or you're just a bit more, I don't know, solid in yourself. She doesn't seem to be someone who needs that kind of reassurance.
Mm.
And I partly also think that's because she's got kids and relatively young kids at home. She really is seeing this as like, this is just time for me. I think when they get the old letters from home bit, that'll be when we really see her go to pieces.
Yeah.
Because it'll be when she sees her kids, because she is all about her kids.
Well,
as people are, you know, it doesn't make her special.
Okay, I think we've got one more, haven't we? Is it Fizz? What's her name?
Toff? Fizz from Coronation Street.
Whose real name is Jenny.
Jenny McAlpine. She's the big sister of the camp.
Yeah.
You know, does a lot of cooking.
She's been a bit quiet. I was hoping she'd be a bit more...
Well, I think in a funny kind of a way, she's not been... she's not had a lot of sort of challenging stuff to do. So we haven't seen that side of her. And so we've just seen more what she's in the camp. And it just seems that she's a very easy person to like, very likable, very easy to get on with.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that doesn't mean that when the editors sit down with what they've got, you know, they think we can't just have 5 minutes of a woman being perfectly pleasant.
Which reminds me, there are two other people in the camp. I'd completely forgotten.
Kez?
Kez and Vanessa. Kez?
Well, doesn't that tell you everything?
Wow. Kez, I think, is starting to come out of her shell a bit, if only to be the crab. But understandably so. You know, she's used to calling the shots and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was hard for Ian and Kez coming into the camp when that sort of group had already set itself up and set its own boundaries. But I think, you know, what we've learned from Kez is she's quite thoughtful. And, you know, Ian was able to come in like a sledgehammer and yeah. I'm PM and I'm... So he had stuff to do. Whereas we haven't necessarily seen that much of Kez being given that chance to assert herself. But I thought how she handled Amir tonight. She checked in with Jamie. If I do this, will you back me up?
And yesterday with the whole Boris's dad thing, Stanley thing, she weighs people up. She's got the measure of people, yeah. I think.
Yeah, she seems very smart, but is that enough on a show like I'm a Celebrity?
Yeah, I think she's forgotten that it's supposed to be entertaining too.
Yeah.
But she's not there for entertainment. She's there to spread a message.
Well, partly that, and also partly you can be entertaining when it's your time to shine. And until you get on those challenges, and until you are centre stage, very hard to do that.
She sipped that smoothie, didn't she? She didn't neck it.
Yeah, well, that didn't do her any favours, because Ant and Dec then immediately went on the after show and went, it was her who failed that task. It was her who let everyone down there.
And I think Becky Vardy agreed, didn't she?
Yeah, well...
All right, Vanessa, last one. It won't take long. Perfectly nice girl.
Yeah, Vanessa.
Yeah. Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You done tootin'. Rufus Hound in here for Ian Lee with Kaz.
Yo, yo.
What's up? So, we've talked about I'm a Celebrity. It's not, I'll be perfectly honest, it's not necessarily what we want to talk about all night. The thing I really want to talk about tonight is joy. And the truth of the matter is what I've found in doing this show is that I take many of the conversations that we have on this show home with me. And I wish that wasn't the case. But a number of folks that we speak to here express, you know, different opinions or just the fact that they're bored. That seems to be a running theme. People ring in because they're bored. But at the tail end of last night, we spoke to CJ, who, you know, had been going through a bit of a rough patch. And it made me think that, also, because wanging on about politics and things like that, there are so many things that separate us. And when do we ever talk about the things that bring us all together? I'm a Celebrity, probably a pretty good example, actually, of a time when we put a lot of our differences aside and just go, oh, did you see him eat those bollocks? if we can say that on the radio, I'm not sure we can.
Well, you just apologies. Did, and I shall be saying it to him quite a lot in future. Get that down, you've drunk worse.
it raises the question, what are you making him drink in the first place? But, we'll move on. And so, yeah, the thing I really wanted to talk tonight about was joy.
Yay!
What is it that brings you joy? What is it you're... You know, the Americans have Thanksgiving, and they sit round as a family, and they talk about all the things they're thankful for, about what they had in their year. They've just had that because, you know, as the nights draw in, as we get colder, we all look towards Christmas, and Christmas has got its own set of feelings, and it's really about togetherness and family. It's not necessarily about giving thanks. So, what I would love is whatever it is that you get joy from, that is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
I want to talk about not just the thing that brings you joy. I want to talk about why it brings you joy. Why of why it brings you joy. I want to pick apart the things that you gain joy from in the hope that other people might find something in your joy that they themselves could share.
Can I give you some joy?
Give me your joy.
I had about 30 seconds of joy yesterday. I counted it.
Just very quickly to remind the listener at home, Kath and I worked together for 3 hours yesterday, but apparently 30 seconds of joy.
Oh, no, that was a pure joy all the way through. I was trembling with joy the whole time. No, my daughter came up to me yesterday and sang Spinal Tap's Big Bottom, Talk About Bum Cakes, My Girl's Got Him. And that filled me with so much joy.
Yeah.
Partly because what a very naughty thing to do for a six-year-old, but yes. Also... She'd learn that from me.
Yeah. If I die tomorrow, some greater part of me will live on in the small one.
You can imagine her in an old people's home saying, you know what my mum used to sing to me?
Yeah.
And they're thinking, oh, something sweet. Know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely smashing. There's a, what was it, Tim and Eric? Do you know Tim and Eric, the American comedian?
Yeah, I love Tim and Eric.
Heidecker. Tim Heidecker, very, very funny, American alternative comedian. If you can find it online, I urge you to so do, has just released an album of music inspired by Donald Trump. I can't remember what it's called now. I'll Google it in the next break. But there's a song on there called Trump's Dumps. And it is literally about the pure evil quality of the effluvia that emerges from the most powerful man in the Western world. And there's not really any swearing in it. I think there might be one S word. But listening to it, I thought my son would love this. And so I waited till no one else was around and played it to him. And the joy in his eyes that,
yes.
You know, it was, I think he felt like I was giving him the keys to the car. It was that kind of moment.
Amazing.
And he's asked me several times since, so, Dad, could I just listen to that that song again?
But these are the things you remember growing up. These are the little moments, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the kind of cheeky, naughty things.
I remember my Auntie Linda teaching me a very rude version of Magic Moments.
Well, maybe we can get a little re-sing of that as the night wears on.
A lot of it I didn't really understand, but I knew there were swears in it. And it's only as an adult I think, flipping heck, that was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Good one, Auntie Linda.
Do you remember Kevin Wilson's Santa Claus Wears My Bike?
Yeah.
The first time I heard that, I was like, my brain was leaking out of my face. I couldn't believe.
Thinking, if he finds out about this, you won't have a bike.
Anyway, that's really what we want to talk about. However, already on the line, of course, we have Alan Caddick.
Incoming!
For a point.
Wimper the bear.
For two. Alan, I'm assuming you were watching IMACGMOH.
I did, and full credit to Mr. Lee getting the full House of 11 stars.
That's the stuff, isn't it, Al?
And he conquered his fear of heights as well. Thanks to a message from his boys.
Yes.
Don't look down.
Don't look down. Wise words in almost every situation imaginable.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I want to talk about another C word that's coming soon.
Go on then.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. I've wrapped all my Christmas presents on today.
You've wrapped all your presents?
Yep.
I haven't even bought them.
Alan, you are ahead of the curve here, Sunbeam.
Better to be ahead than leave it to the last minute.
Well, I mean, be prepared. That's what the Boy Scouts tell us.
I wasn't, and as you know, I was in the Cubs.
You were in the Cubs.
Well, I was eight.
I can think of a joke here, as can most of the people listening, and I'm not going to make it.
But like I say, the subscription was too much
at
the time.
I wasn't in the Brownies. Do you know what I was in instead?
The Cookery?
The Girls Friendly Society.
Oh, that sounds blooming smashing. What was the Girls Friendly Society?
It was like Brownies, but you didn't need a uniform. All you needed was a neckerchief. And you could get badges and then you could sew them on your neckerchief.
Oh, this is smart. So, but it was a similar kind of
girl guiding.
It was
a similar vibe. I don't know whether I think there might have been a church element. It was certainly held in a church hall. But yeah, I remember being at one point the youngest member of the GFS in that area of Manchester in which I was living.
Is that how you hated camping, Kath?
No, I did later become a guide, and I stayed in the guides far longer than was cool. And I went on a guide camp once, and I was not, what do they call it? Leader or sixer? I can't remember what they call it. Patrol leader. I wasn't patrol leader until everyone else in that tent got a really bad vomiting disorder. Please. And I was the only one left, and at that point I claimed my crown. But apart from that,
I
just...
and the Girl Guide Highlander. There can be only one.
Again, I was the last sugar babe standing. And that's the only time I ever win anything is when everyone else is completely out of the game.
Well, let's hope Ian can be King of the Jungle. And we'll have to call him Your Majesty when he comes back.
Well, I mean, I
think you might call him that anyway.
Yeah, I think that's very much how Ian would want his listeners to address him full stop, regardless of his appearance on television. So, Cads, do you think maybe he's converted a few folk?
He's certainly got me converting me mom.
Really?
Because she'd never seen him before when he was in the jungle.
Right, and so had she not thought he was much cop up until tonight?
Well, she knew I always call him, but she'd never seen what he looked like.
Oh, right, OK. And what does she think?
She's impressed, because... And especially about discussion they were having with Becky about depression tonight. Yeah. It was just like being him in his natural environment on the radio.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that seemed to be the thing. Kath and I had a quick scan through Twitter after he'd done the full 11 stars and all of that. And he was getting a bit of love from people.
Yeah, there were fewer C words, which is always a bonus. Especially C words from people saying, "You're effing rude, you C." And you think, well,
yeah.
It's not the most polite way of phrasing that.
Hot kettle black.
Sweary.
I think he showed that he had a bit of internal steel, and people normally respond well to that. But I think it was also the chat he had with Rebecca. I think people were, very pleased to see that those kind of conversations can happen. And when people have the opportunity to be on a big show, they're not afraid to talk about some of that stuff. And obviously, as regular listeners to this show will know, Ian's...
he's got experience in the matter.
Had those conversations many times, has he not?
Yeah, because he's got experience in the matter.
Yeah, well...
That he's been through it himself.
Yeah. But isn't it interesting that, there's a camp with 11 people in it, and two of the people in that camp, can recognise that it's had a big effect on them and their lives. And who knows, there may even be other people in that camp who would be able to say the same, who have not as yet felt the need or the moment was right for them to speak of their experiences.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, but I missed the most crucial element.
Why? What's happening tomorrow night?
The Fear Factory, but I don't know who's doing it.
Oh. How on earth will you sleep tonight?
If anyone knows, 03444991000.
There we go.
a semi-official co-host of the show, Alan Caddick.
By the way, you should be calling me Your Majesty. I'm only a piece in the Mail Online, Mirror Online.
Are
not
you?
The Mail Online.
I'm a bit online, Cam, so I don't know.
Do you want me to read you my article?
We haven't been spotted wearing the same thing. This is going to be embarrassing.
Here we go. Right,
send it me on Twitter.
Well, I've just retweeted it with the words, "Oh, good." Always cracking, isn't it, to be put in there. So, best friend. Catherine Boyle says the radio star is the most honest one in camp, but she slams manipulative Stanley Johnson. Oh, good, I'm going to get some C words on Twitter.
We might get the B word as well.
What? A booger?
No, the five-letter B word.
Oh, well, that's not entirely wrong. Ian Lee can overcome his mental health demons and triumph the same way Winston Churchill won the Second World War, according to his best friend. That's a slightly abbreviated version of what I said. I love it. Catherine Boyle, Ian's radio producer, says despite getting tearful and clashing with Stanley Johnson, the broadcaster has what it takes. Discussing his well-known mental health issues...
Sorry, very quickly. I'm sorry for interrupting your flow. That was incredibly rude.
This is my moment, mate.
Is this what they've written as a result of the conversation we had 25 minutes ago? Well, hello, folks, on...
yesterday. Was it yesterday when people were saying, I think he's too poorly, he needs to come out?
Oh, maybe.
Discussing...
Well, if you're listening from the National Press, good evening to you.
What do you want to pop in?
What do I want to pop in? Yeah. Tickets still available for my one-man show.
Rufus is also a very good friend of Ian Lee.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Say something about Stanley Johnson.
Stanley. Well, I mean, we spent the first 20 minutes talking about him.
Take what you want.
Yeah. Help yourselves. I don't give a toss. I mean, none of this stuff matters.
No.
Is the bigger picture. You know, it matters in terms of... wanting to present yourself decently to the world, but who wins a reality show and the conversations that a bunch of people who are essentially posh camping have, none of it actually matters in the world. So by all means, take what you want from me. Couldn't give a toss.
With that in mind, back to me.
Back to Kath. And I'm sorry, it was only that I thought, have they been able to turn this around in the last 20? That was what I was staggered about. But I realise we've been talking about it now for a couple of days.
On the upside, we've got at least one extra listener. So well done, Ian.
Thank you. Yes, it's having the exact effect you wanted. Hopefully, Ian, fingers crossed, I'll have lost you all of those listeners by the time you come back.
Anyway, back to me. Discussing his well-known mental health issues, Catherine, at least they spell it right, said, it's not all he is. He has depression and it comes and goes. It might mean that he takes things tougher than someone without depression sometimes, but you can't count on that happening. There are plenty of people over history who've done amazing things. Winston Churchill won the Second World War with a terrible problem with depression. Doesn't mean you sit at home crying all day in a corner. It comes and goes. It's not an excuse for things, but sometimes it can be debilitating and it can be physical and you can't get out of bed, but other times you crack on with it. I think I'm going to get, like, a Pride of Britain or something out of this.
Yeah. Wake up, Waterman, when you need her.
On Talk Radio, Catherine also blasted camp favourite Stanley as manipulative. Here we go, guys.
Hang on, let me just light this pitchfork.
He and Ian clashed over a counting challenge in Battle of the Sexes trial, and Catherine said, Stanley didn't do much counting. He was too busy bossing everyone around. Stanley's about manipulation. The Johnsons are cutthroat. That's the way Boris has been brought up. He's not going to learn it out of thin air. I think you said a lot of that, but I'm going to take credit for it.
Yeah, I hope
and,
so.
And the rap, probably.
Yeah. Well, it's much easier to hate a woman.
Definitely.
That's basically the culture we live in, isn't it?
Particularly one with a really smiley avatar. Have some of that.
Have some of that.
And this is why we have the problem of Brexit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bit of a left turn there, Cads. Bit of a left turn.
But, yeah, broken Britain.
It was Stanley's son that wanted Brexit.
Yeah. Yes. And then what happened? He ran away.
Seriously, though, what did happen? Anyone? Anyone at all?
Do you remember Brave Sir Robin from Monty Python? Similar scenario. Put that in the mirror.
Yeah. was that the full article?
Well, there was a tiny bit more, but it would be big-headed of me to...
No, come on, let's hear it.
Let's get it all out, Kath.
The dazzlingly attractive broadcastette... No, they didn't know that.
Broadcastette!
That's the sort of crap they say, isn't it?
Mediatress.
I'm going to go and have a shower in a minute, and they'll all be... I mean, all this will be chip paper.
Okay, hang on, you read the article, I'll try and do a bit of background music.
She called her pal, the most honest one in there, saying Ian said he could do with a big paycheck and he wants to publicise his radio show. On TV tonight, Ian rose to the occasion in a Face Your Fears trial. He's terrified of heights but got out of the wings of a model spaceship. Was it a model? I thought it was a real one. Above the jungle and did a bungee jump. He won all 11 stars, meaning 11 meals, and returned emotional but proud as his campmates were delighted with him. Go Ian, but most of all, go me.
Go Kath! Kath is the best! Kath is the best!
I think the last time I was in a paper, it was for my Gold Duke of Edinburgh's award, so this is a proud moment.
Well, I was in the paper myself many years ago.
Yeah.
Meeting Pat Roach.
No, I also remember you riding a wooden horse at the Grand National.
That was the most recent one. I'm talking about my first appearance in the paper.
Your paper's career.
Yeah. It was the opening of our school gymnasium. In 1992, and Pat Roach was there, and had an autograph with him, and we were talking about how we designed Pat, going through all the characters.
Oh. It's very starry talking to you sometimes, Alan. Very starry. Some might say too starry.
Late night conversation, worth losing sleep over.
Late night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
All right, Cockle! It's Rufus and Kath here.
Cockle.
That's right.
Is that a thing?
That's how we do it. All right, Cockle! I think if it's going to end up being that we're talking to people about I'm a celebrity, then I'm drawing a line under that when we get to 11 o'clock.
Oh.
But what I really want...
Are you?
Well, I am a bit, only because... Otherwise, we're basically doing a job ITV should be paying us to do.
Yeah, we are.
But it has its place.
Yeah.
And certainly for the time that Ian's on the show, you know, but otherwise we're just a sort of unofficial spin-off. It looks like we're trying to sort of muscle in on, like, oh, yeah, you know, we're doing it too.
True. True.
But, you know, we have our claim. We have the right to stake a claim on talking about this stuff. For our our brave leader, our spirit animal, Ian Lee.
The jungle badger.
Jungle, yeah. Yeah, thank God for that. is on the show. But what I really mean is I want to talk about joy, Kath.
I know you do.
This is the thing. If we focus on the things that make us happy, if we just share with each other the things that improve our lives rather than just pointing fingers at all of the stuff that drags us down, then maybe we're providing a bit more of a service. What's the thing that's really cheered you up? What are you into? I would ask and forgive
that last
me.
Question is a can of worms.
Yeah. I would ask. I'm looking to share universal human experiences here.
Yeah.
But there are some that are very much on the nose. By all means, you can ring up, you can tell me how much you love your kids. But I don't know that anybody's going to learn very much about the human experience other than people on the whole love their kids.
Yeah, mostly.
On the whole. I mean, we all have those days. Oh, God. Some of us have those weeks. But on the whole, we love our kids. But you know what I mean? Like, there are those obvious. But if I ask you for your happiest day, you've got to say, oh, the day I got married. Because you've got to. Because that's your job when you're married. You've got to say that. Yeah. Oh, the day my children were born. Well, park those ones. Mm-hmm. What was your happiest day? Maybe it was you got drunk with somebody you barely knew and went round Alton Towers and were eventually chased out by a man in a animal suit.
Is that what happened to you?
Shut up, Kath. This isn't about me. I'm just saying the first thing that comes to...
It's a pretty specific fantasy.
Do you mind? I'm in the middle of a radio show, dragging me down and pulling me apart the whole time. that's the thing. I want to have sort of broad conversations about the things that we could share. If you're into something, maybe there's somebody who's listening who didn't know very much about it. Be an expert for us. Be a standard bearer. Be a cheerleader for the thing that gives you joy. 0344 499 1000. That is the phone number. 0344 499 1000. And I'm going to try and take more calls than I normally take. The reason that, frankly, that I drag it out more often than not is that we haven't got a lot of people phoning in. So, you know, don't want to burn through everyone and then we're just twiddling our thumbs by the time we get to the last hour. So we'll try and take a few more calls, maybe, than we might do normally. But only if you phone in. Somebody who has phoned in is Jerry and Crewe, for ruddy hell's sakes.
Hello.
Jerry, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Oh, you sound much better than you did yesterday.
My birthday in a couple of hours. My birthday.
Is your birthday?
In a couple of hours, yeah. 29th. I thought I was 46. I thought I was 46 already and 47 too. My family had 45, 46 too. So we left a year already, yeah.
Marvellous. So have you got any plans for your birthday?
I was one-to-one, so I can go out somewhere.
You're going to go out? Do you know where you're going out?
Yes.
Anywhere exciting?
Yes, it could be. Ladies.
Oh. Well, that is exciting. well, Jerry, is that the thing that's you're currently likely to bring you the most joy?
No.
No, it's not. Yeah. You got something up the old sleeve that's even better than that.
There's nothing better than snaring a lady. They've been up to ages. Nothing better than snaring a lady in bed. You've been up to ages. I mean, not necessarily in bed, but in the car. Passenger seat, because pedals are getting away, drivers.
I'm going to be honest, Jerry. I'm only getting every, like, fifth word.
Oh, no, not again.
But it sounds like a fairly fruity story.
Yeah.
We're up all night to get Jerry. We're up all night to get Jerry. We're up all night. Well,
what are you thinking? Tried to speak about Ian last night. He's playing a clever game.
A clever game?
Yeah, he's seen the threat of the old man. The old man's a threat. He's seen up the rest of them. He's told them down. He's showing alpha male characteristics, I think. Alpha male characteristics. Do you agree? extreme power control, assertiveness. He's not weak at all. He's not weak, people think he's weak. He's got these depression spoons, but he's not. He's strong.
Yeah.
He's extremely strong. He's good. He's going to kick ass in that jungle.
Yeah, stick it up him, Jerry. That's Jerry in Cheshire. Jerry, as ever, we thank you for your call. Gavin's in Bishop Stortford. Gavin!
Hello, Rufus.
Hello, Gavin. I don't know why, Gavin. I don't know why that's happened, but I was enjoying it. I thought I'd keep pushing at it.
Gavin. I'll live with that.
Gavin.
Yes.
Are we talking I'm a Celebrity or are we talking joy?
No, we're talking joy, Rufus.
Joy!
Joy to...
And pain!
Ooh, yeah.
Sunshine! And rain! Tell us about your joy,
beautiful.
Gav.
It's quite a simple one. Refrigerated bread.
Oh, now, that sounds slightly perverted.
Early 70s prog band. But,
Wish I had, like, American radio host sound effects now, because that feels like that deserves, like, a bell ringing. Ding, 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 ding! Whoa!
Wait, what?
Refrigerated bread.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Right.
Invented by the Scottish.
Right. What kind of bread are we talking? Cheap white?
No. Crusty wholemeal white.
Crusty wholemeal
white? Is there such a thing?
Well, you know, like the thick stuff that farmers sell.
Right, yeah, got you.
Yeah, you with me on that one. Yeah.
Oh, like a
bloomer.
Yeah.
Proper loaf.
What my nan would call doorstop bread, because you have to cut it really big, thick slices.
But no, if you're feeling extravagant, just get a proper loaf, Spend... untold purses of gold on it.
Go to Waitrose, do the full £3 on a single loaf of bread from Gales.
And then don't even bother slicing it at the end. Just cut it straight in half and go from there.
You animal!
Get him off the air! Get him! Bin the call!
This guy's some kind of deviant.
We're not having pervs on here. Gavin, you... vicious bitch.
Why does it need... I mean, already you're bending the rules, and then you want to refrigerate this thing?
Yeah, what you do is you slice it down the middle, then you get the two choicest bits, and then you just throw the rest away. Yeah? Oh, yeah, man.
Louis XIV?
Out the hotel window.
I'm beginning to really get this.
Yeah,
the more you go on, there's an extravagance at the heart of this, isn't there?
It is.
So you're not eating the knobby bits at the end?
Oh, no, just throw it all out. Apart from the two slices you want.
Treat yourself.
Charity or something.
Yeah.
Give it to charity.
Yeah. And so you put your two slices, and then whatever filling you want, bash it in, but you've got to use, say, for example, you're going cheese and ham. Staple.
Classic.
Filling.
Can't go wrong.
Brand new block of cheese.
Brand new block of cheese.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to cut the middle out and chuck the ends away.
Yeah, take it from the middle. Either end away.
Take it from the middle one more time.
And then you do your ham or whatever, same thing, brand new pack, first couple of slices, throw the rest away. Then plate it all up, cut it in half with a knife, brand new knife.
You're not taking the top...
Brand new knife, brand new knife.
You're not taking the top plate off the pile either, are you? You're skimming through them.
Brand new cutlery, plates the lot.
Yeah.
Then cover it in cling film, bang it in the fridge for a couple of hours.
Wow.
So that it's
How
really
can you
cold.
Hold off?
It's really
all
cold.
All that foreplay.
Yeah, it stays, bouncy.
Gosh. Yeah, I get that. Did you say wrap it in cling film first?
Yeah, man.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and what is it about? What is it about a cold sandwich then that is superior to a regular sandwich?
No, it's the Scots. I went on holiday to Largs as a child, and I went to a place called Nardini's Emporium or something.
Yeah,
and they used this technique, and they taught it to me. This wise old man.
He took you to a back room.
Straight up, man. Straight up. In his tam o' shanter and everything. And I said, "This is the most incredible sandwich. What's the secret?" And he goes, "Well, laddie." And, showed me all... you have to do, wizardy movements and motions. And, just stick it in the fridge. Beautiful.
I can't bloody believe it. Oh.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Have Happy, happy, joy, joy. I don't think you're happy enough. That's right. I'll teach you to be happy. I'll teach your grandmother to suck eggs. Now, boys and girls, let's try it again.
Let's try it again. Sing along at home.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. If then you ain't the granddaddy of all liars, the little critters of nature, they don't know that they're ugly. That's very funny. A fly marrying a bumblebee. I told you I'd shoot, but you didn't believe me. Why didn't you believe me?
Happy, joy.
Put that in the mirror.
We're talking about depression here on Talk Radio. Joy, friends, joy! What are we, if not creatures who are on Earth to experience joy? What is your joy? What can we share with our brothers and sisters listening on the wireless this evening? What is it that brings you joy? This is the question we are asking you, and we are asking you this question, not rhetorically, friends. Oh, no. We are asking for answers. You give us your answer by calling 0344 499 1000. This is the number you call, 0344 499 1000. Share with us the things that bring you joy, which so far tonight have been refrigerated sandwiches and a disrespect for earthly goods. Hopefully, a man about to share his effusive, ebullient personality with us is David Babcock.
Whoop, whoop!
Hey, right. Hello.
There he is. You all right, Babbers?
You can feel the joy coming off the phone.
Choking on me Ben and Jerry's.
Well, I say, you treating yourself tonight?
A little bit of fatty carbohydrate joy right there.
Mm-mm. What kind have you got there?
It's the Salford caramel brownie top.
You dirty devil.
We may just need a moment to readjust ourselves on the back of this news, Babbers.
But, and I'm eating it all for myself. Nummy.
Oh, you cheeky little rascal. What is it that brings you joy? I mean, is it just the Ben and Jerry's, or did you have a something else with which you wish to speak? That's not grammar, words. This is my job, Kath. Help me out.
I can't. I've just read what I said in the mirror, and apparently I can't speak either.
What is it that brings you joy, David?
Well, I find joy in the rare moments when I realise my place in the universe, and that on a human scale, if I can manage to fire off the right synapses in another brain, it's the equivalent of a galaxy being born out there in space.
Wow, that's man.
That's my joy.
I feel like we should have been playing Pink Floyd under that.
Yeah.
So
it's a bit late.
Yeah, it is a bit late. We can't go back. There's no going back. So is it a philosophical understanding of one's place in the universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think creating joy in other people is underrated. That's why I do my paranormal investigations, you see.
Right. Mm. Yeah. When you make someone laugh, when you please somebody, I think it's the Dalai Lama that says that service to your fellow man is the highest calling, the greatest gift. So it's you and the Dalai Lama, David, as the main two proponents of this idea.
It's all we've got and it's all we are. That's what my statements.
Well, that's
that's deep,
profoundly lovely.
I'm on top of a mountain. Hey! Oh, dear. Do you want to come on my podcast?
I might come on your podcast, now that I know you're one of life's great thinkers, David.
Well, I'd like to brush my own penis.
Hello. Yeah, well, you'd be one of the few men for whom that was true.
Well, I'm not back up, man, for God.
Yeah?
I should stop eating the ice cream when I'm on there.
You should, because I don't know whether you know this, but it's kind of catching at the back of your throat every now and again, and it does sound rather extraordinary.
I've got a very small mouth.
Have you?
But in a very big tub of ice cream. It's a recipe for disaster.
On a final point, sorry.
Yeah.
Becky's won me round.
Oh.
Becky's won the round?
No, won me round.
She's won you round.
Yeah.
Why?
I've come to realise that there may be a reason why she's so hostile.
Yes.
And therefore I relate to her.
Right.
Hidden depths.
Hidden depths.
Well, this is one of the interesting things. I'm not sure what the copyright issues are, and if we can examine this, then maybe there's a way around the copyright, or I don't know.
Tell me what you want to snaffle.
What I want to play, the good people at home, is the... there's a song called A Song About Apples that the American comedian Reggie Watts sings.
Yes.
Now, for anybody not familiar with Reggie Watts, you may have spotted him as the band leader on James Corden's Late Late Show, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yes.
But quite apart from being the band leader on the James Corden show, Reggie Watts is one of the finest musical minds and comedic minds of his generation. And he does improvised loop pedal jazz and funk stuff, right? And when he does it as comedy, it's sort of poking fun at some of those musical archetypes and things like that. But a lot of it's, you know, improvised on the night. You'll only ever hear it that once. I've got a feeling that sometimes he returns to stuff and refines it a bit. So it's sort of semi-improvised and semi-thought out. But this song about apples contains within it some of the greatest philosophy I have ever heard in my life. It is available on YouTube, but it's also part of his spatial comedy special, which is on Netflix. So if you have the Netflix, I think it comes at about 48 minutes in. That's
wow,
how many...
you think? That's precise.
Yeah, it's around about that mark. I have listened to it countless times. Somebody has now pulled the whole thing off, and it's available on YouTube as a standalone. I don't know what the legality of being able to play it, because the rights might belong somewhere else. I don't know what the deal on that is.
We're quite late at night, and we found it, so...
Well, I mean, it's about 5 minutes long. I can't remember if there are rude words in it. If there are, there aren't very many.
Should we hover over the dump?
Okay.
Oh, dear, that's a very, very naughty cough you've got there.
Are we prepared to play this?
Let's play it.
Right, okay, so, friends, on the back of David Babcock saying that he can look at Rebecca Vardy and recognise in her... that maybe there's something shared, some light, some shared humanity, and the recognition of that is kindled within him. Part of what Reggie Watts is about to sing about contains exactly that. But my gosh, this is genuinely one of my favourite pieces of art of any kind ever in human history, and I'm delighted to be able to share it with you.
Okay. Dum, 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 dum. Dum 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 dum.
I don't even need you.
Dum dum.
I never tried to cry.
Dum dum.
I used to ask so many questions like that famous one. Why?
Dum dum.
Do you know him?
Dum.
Does he know you? Did you do a little hanky-panky off at the San Diego Zoo? Did you see the koalas? Did you see the tigers and the bears, the wolves? The things you shouldn't see, did you hold his hand in a park? Did you go to a movie? How dare you have someone you cared about before me? It's so right for me to get jealous, 'cause I gotta think of you as a piece of property. I've got to hold on to you. When I say you're my girl, it really means that I own you inside of my mind. She thinks that's sexy, 'cause she thinks that's cool. 'Cause love should be based on insecurity, my fools. I know it's true, and it feels so good to be slightly addicted to someone that you feel you can't learn about. But don't worry now.
Can we go back into it? Because I'm pretty sure that's the only rude word.
Oh, yes, you clean. Because cleaning is a thing we can do if we really open up our listening. Oh, yes, I feel how lovers like to entwine in the moment. Because there's always the discrepancy between the biological need to procreate, oh. But sometimes it gets confused with the idea, the construct that society lays upon us for, oh yeah. You watch a movie, you think it's like that, yeah. You watch a TV show, you think it's like that, yeah. You read a book and you think it's like that, but it hasn't been like that for very long. Because society hasn't developed the technology to place their stories and constructs in the philosophical medium that's entertaining for us to understand. And plus, there's so many of us here on this planet, we need a system to organize ourselves in a way that makes us feel like we come from a tradition of culture. It's so cool, but it's scarier to get your things in order and understand there's no order. We're all improvising in any way that makes you happy is truly the way that you should survive. Because otherwise you're living under systems that don't match who you are, and you'll be fighting that all of the rest of your life. Anyways, just be happy. Just do everything with love, and you'll see everything will be okay. Just do what you need. Take that time to do the in between, in between. Don't use those things against another person. Remember, every person is an opportunity to learn more about yourself, because you are listening to where they're coming from, and they represent a reflection of yourself. As long as you understand that there's more to this life, there's always so much more to this life. 'Cause I don't lie no more to myself or to others. It feels so much better, because when I was younger, I could lie, let me tell you, I could lie.
I could lie like a very bad man. Can we join it anyway after that?
And inside yourself, it's not always about being good. It's understanding why you're being good in the first place. Oh, empathy's a bitch. Once you feel it, you can't get rid of that itch. It's true. Just remember to always love yourself.
Ah.
It's just one of the greatest things. I'm not sure, because we did have to dump out. There were two F-bombs that got dropped in that. So I don't know, when we go back the 15 seconds, how much of that may have ruined your listening pleasure. If you, let's be honest, you're the sort of person who's awake at 11:15 at night listening to The Wireless, chances are you're not really offended by strong language. If you do want to hear it, it's available on Reggie Watts's Spatial comedy special on the Netflix, as I say, or on YouTube. But it's just that thing. Every person is an opportunity to learn about yourself. And it's like, once you key into that idea, everybody you meet, it's a bit like hosting this show. The people who want to ring in and be very angry, you think, right, what am I learning about them? But moreover, what am I learning about myself?
Mm-hmm.
And if every human interaction we have is an opportunity to learn about what we're about and how we want to be in the world, my gosh, that changes things. And it's, we live in a funny kind of a world where I was talking to my best mate Steve on the train on the way in this morning, and we were saying that essentially the way that we are encouraged to live now is, here is very little information about something. Now, as a result of that very small amount of information, take a position and now be prepared to die for the position you've just taken on it. And all we're doing is polarising everyone the entire time. Which side of this are you on? I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Human beings are not binary creatures, friends. We aren't ones and zeros. We are all the grey in between those two positions.
And it's that funny sinking feeling when you... And it shouldn't be a sinking feeling. It should be joyful, is what I'm learning. That sinking feeling where what you thought you knew isn't right.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, oh, no, I've been a complete idiot. But actually, you should go... Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've been a complete idiot. This is what it is.
Well, it's like Edison said about inventing the light bulb. You know, apparently there were 100 prototypes before he had a working one.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I didn't fail 99 times. I learned 99 times about what it was going to take to make one that worked.
When I was applying for radio jobs when I was like back in my early 20s, I remember having this attitude, which was surprisingly sunny for me, to be honest, which was, every time I get a rejection, it's a step closer to my job.
Right. Yeah. That's a great one. Yeah, hold on to that.
Yeah.
Like, the odds of your first letter being the one that lands you a job, very slim. So if you thought, well, I've got to send 50 letters before I'll get a job, anything before 50 feels like, oh, that's a result.
Exactly.
And then anything after 50, you go, oh, I just got my estimation wrong. But every time I was getting closer to getting the job.
And that dates me a lot. A, that I was sending letters and tapes. And when I say tapes, I mean proper tapes. And also that I expected a reply.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't reply anymore, do they?
No, I mean, and when they do, the calligraphy is often very poor. David, you've stayed with us on the line there.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy a bit of Reggie Watts?
I did. And I liked it when he swore. That was funny.
Oh, yeah, you will have heard that. Sorry about that, Babbers.
Yeah, we kept you on the line for that.
Sensitive ears, I have.
Yeah, well, tell your priest we can only apologise.
Okay, then.
Is there anything else that makes you happy, David?
Dogs.
Yeah, great one.
Dogs are good.
There's nothing not to like about dogs.
Well.
I'll tell you, well, yeah, I mean, all right, not all dogs. Hashtag not all dogs. do you know what makes me really happy, David?
What makes you very happy?
Advertising.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Ah, we're playing all sorts tonight. Ren and Stimpy, Reggie Watts. I'm beginning to think we should just call this show Radio.
Yeah.
As opposed to Talk Radio.
Home of the hits.
Home of the... home of the hits. Yeah. Playing obscure American indie comedy classics all night through the night. We're talking about joy, friends. We're talking about joy, friends, boyfriends and girlfriends. We want to know the things that make you happy. David was sharing a more existential kind of version of how to achieve happiness, understanding one's place in the universe. But before that, it was a refrigerated sandwich.
Yeah, and that sounded pretty good.
And that was, that in my mind, as valid.
It was the most extravagant sandwich I've ever heard of.
Yeah, but I think that was all part of it.
Yeah.
I I did a bit of work on something to do with Dusty Springfield earlier in the week. And I didn't know this, but at the height of her success, she used to receive gifts of full tea services or teapots and smash them.
Did she?
Yeah.
What, not even use them once?
I don't know if it was important whether they were used or new or whatever, but it was the act of the smashing, of just breaking something for the sake of breaking something, that she found very freeing.
Wow, and did people know that they were sending something that was going to be smashed to bits?
Well, I think it was... I don't know if it was fans sending them to her as much as it was, like, you know, people at the record company, friends of hers, would go, go on, you know.
Go for broke.
A bit of a treat, literally, go for broke, yeah. Yeah, but I get that. I get that, yeah. There's that... with people with, you know, heavy creative impulses, sometimes you just want to smash it all up.
You know that in America there is a destruction room you can go into, and it's mobile, right?
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah, and they set it up like a house. And you get something like, I guess it changes according to the fee that you pay, but you can have 10, 15 minutes in there with a baseball bat just go for it. Just soundproof. Just smash it to bits. Say all kinds of swears,
yeah.
And no one holds it against you or asks you to pay for anything repairable.
Oh, this is tremendous. It's the best thing at the fair is always the wooden balls throwing at porcelain plates, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, always the best. You win nothing for it, just that deep-seated sense of satisfaction that China has been broken.
Yeah.
They call me the bull. now, interestingly, friends, 0344 499 1000, we're asking you to tell us about your joy. As it stands, we have one caller on the line, and in some respects, it is the man who instigated, inspired tonight's Joy Fest. It's CJ from Stockport. Hello, CJ.
Hello.
So, yeah, after last night's show, I went home. I'll be honest, I had a bit of difficulty sleeping. I'm not saying you're to blame, CJ, but certainly in those moments where I was struggling to drop off, I was thinking about what you'd said. I don't know if you want to share it again. I don't feel it's necessarily my place to repeat it.
No.
But, you know, you've not been having a particularly joyful time of late.
No, not particularly. No, it's been a horrible year.
So I was thinking, what could we do to cheer one another up?
Well, I wanted to sing a song with you and Kath, if I could.
Oh. We're ready.
Okay.
But before I start, I wanted to speak to Kath, if I could.
Oh, go on.
Well, Ian's not there, and unfortunately, I can't. Hopefully, one, you know, you'll listen back to this call. But a few months ago, when I was on a massive downer. I decided to take that message down on Twitter, and I called Ian a D word. I don't want to swear on the radio. And then I insulted you on Twitter. And then I walked away from it, and I thought, OK, I've upset someone here. And then I got drunk again, and I thought, oh, no, I was right here, I was right. So I sent this email in to your boss, Denny, saying, hey, Denny, these people have done this. And then when I stepped back from the situation, I thought, oh, I've been a pain in the arse here. Ian's done nothing wrong, and Kath's done nothing wrong. And you got to a situation where you both blocked me, and I was like, oh, I must have done something bad here. They both blocked me. And all I wanted to say, Kath, is I don't quite remember the ins and outs of that situation, but I just wanted to say I'm really sorry.
Ah, CJ, thank you. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. The only reason I block people is, you know, so I don't have to see it. You can do what you like, but
Well, what it was, do you remember when we were trying to set up the performance ring?
Ah, right, okay.
It was that, and I really wanted to be a part of that. I thought, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a part of this. I would love to bring this to Manchester and do this here. And I got it in my head that this could happen. But, you know, it's just my own head just getting carried away with things, as I always do.
Mm.
And, you know, I feel really bad for it because, you know, I called Ian a dick. I did. And looking back on that, I think, how many people has he got calling him a dick?
Well, a lot at the moment.
Well, he shouldn't do, because he shouldn't do.
I know, but you know what? Right, on bad days, it will make a difference. But,
yeah.
You know, he knows himself. I know him. He's not a real... In a way, he's not a real person to a lot of people on Twitter. And people watching television just see him as a sort of cartoon character, and he gets that. And I kind of get that to a degree. I'm not used to it so much. I'm not used to it so much, I must admit. But listen, it's gone. It's gone. It's out there. I know what's gone on with you, and I appreciate your honesty, and I appreciate the fact that you're making amends, and it's gone. I've forgotten about it.
There we go. We can all move on with our lives. Listen, we can dwell on these things, or you can offer an apology, have that apology accepted, wipe the slate clean and move forward, CJ. It sounds to me, as somebody who's not aware of any of this, that Kath's not wanting to go through the ins and outs of it, that apology seemed entirely genuine to me. So if I were you, take a deep breath, accept it, and what is this song you want to sing?
Okay, we're ready.
Oh, we're ready. We were born ready. We came out of the womb with boxing gloves on.
Yeah!
You should have seen the look on that paediatrician's face.
And my poor mother.
Why she'd been eating all those boxing gloves is a mystery to me, but there you go.
Now, guys, the backing track is Hakuna Matata.
All right.
Lovely.
But I want to change can we change the Hakuna Matata bit?
Yeah.
To refrigerated bread?
Well, It doesn't scan.
It would work.
Hakuna Matata is six syllables. Refrigerated bread. Yeah, it's six syllables.
Yeah, exactly.
Refrigerated bread.
What
refrigerated bread. Okay, ready?
Have you got it there, CJ?
Dum, dum,
dum, dum.
Get ready.
Do you know all the words?
Refrigerated bread.
Yeah.
Ain't no passing craze. It means no worries. Come on.
For the rest of your days, it's a problem-free philosophy. Refrigerated bread.
Well, stop that.
There you go.
I'll get the neighbours banging below. They'll be like, what the hell's going on up there?
Joy, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Joy.
You can't handle the joy, man!
You know,
I
spoke to you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
A lovely chap on Twitter just messaged me going, hope you okay, man. I'm like, yeah, I'm great. And I don't know who the guy was, you know. And to have a random guy just message going, I hope you're okay.
Yeah.
And that reminds us why...
Mate,
we're here.
CJ, this is my whole point. This is everything that I am doing with the little bit of time Talk Radio has given me. And do you know, genuinely, that makes it sound like, oh, Talk Radio have only given me... I'm very grateful for this time. Yeah. I can't commit to doing this all the time. And it's Ian's show. I don't want to oust Ian. It's not about that. I've got a couple of weeks in your company, and the only thing I've been given no real... remit or instruction. Kath said, no, make it your show. Do what you want to do with it.
And you did a great job.
This is very kind, CJ, and of course I only ever say these things to instigate compliments. But this is my point, right? You put yourself out there, you make yourself vulnerable. Sometimes that can be a bit painful. Sometimes it won't always go the way that you want it to go. But the vast majority of people... care and want other people to be okay. And when you're on the radio every night, we know the folks who are listening out in the New Forest, in Durham and Croydon. We know who the regulars are. You are in people's ears. You're part of people's lives. And if they think that one of their own is going through a tricky time, of course they want to reach out.
Well, I hope he's listening and I hope he just heard what you said, because you just translate what I was thinking into... That's your gift, Rufus.
No, but mate, look, this is the thing. Walking around in the world, everybody's got this little voice in the back of their heads going, oh, I'm not sure about them, I'm not sure about them, I'm not sure about them.
Yeah.
And when you walk around like that, what happens is you think, oh, why are they being weird? Why are they being weird? And what does that inspire in the person that you're looking at? They think, oh, why is that guy being weird? And then they walk around going, well, that guy was being weird. Now that guy's being weird. And then the guy who just, you know, it goes on and on and on. That thing, look, it's very, a bit trite and a bit saccharine, but, you know, there's nothing more infectious than a smile. You smile and pay it forward and all of those things. They're all the, you know, kind of dippy-hippy philosophy things. But the more people who approach the world with joy and kindness... don't get me wrong, there are awful people in the world. There are people whose lives are massively broken, and the idea that just seeing someone smile is going to flip that right back around isn't going to happen. But we are in dark times, and our only way out of this, from the powers that want us to be disenfranchised and not part of something bigger than ourselves and alone and scared, our only way of fighting that is to find ways in which we come together and that we're kinder to one another, that we're better to each other. And if we get that thing happening, if we get that moving forwards, then it will all be better. We will all make better choices for one another, everybody's life. Don't do it because, you know, you're Mother Teresa or Gandhi.
Teresa was a bit of a knob, to be clear.
Well, I mean, read Christopher Hitchens. I only use that phrase because people widely associate it with somebody who's wonderful, but, I mean, you're absolutely right. Read Christopher Hitchens. Not a good woman, but...
Can I tell you about something that happened today?
Yes, you can, CJ. Because I'll be honest, no other callers. 0344 499 1000. Literally, CJ, you want to spend another hour and a half talking, we're all in your corner. 0344 499 1000. All we want to do is hear about what makes you happy. We're not trying to dig you out. We're not going to make you look stupid. It's just a conversation. Ring in if you've never phoned in before. Tell us just about a thing that makes you happy. Meanwhile, back with CJ in Stockport.
I launched, I run a thing in Stockport called Stockport Tourism, and, you know, Stockport's okay, you know, it's not got monuments and things like that, but I thought, you know, we got 2,000 people on this page, so is it bad that I want to inject my agenda into the page?
I mean, you're now talking about the vagaries of social networking.
What's your agenda?
What I told people to do was, instead of buying friends and people Christmas presents, buy homeless people scarves and hats and
gloves. Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to do that, but it's a nice thought.
That's what I learnt today, because not many people really were interested. They were more interested in people posting half-naked selfies than this. I mean, we raised £103, which was great.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
You know, in the space of a few days. But it's frustrating, you know, when you're trying to help people and no one just seems to care, and it's
yeah, but, right, listen, CJ, this is, again, we find ourselves returning to the nub of the conversation, right? Of course people don't care. Because they've all got their own stuff to deal with. They've got their own money troubles. They've got their own... You know, Christmas is so expensive and the pressures on everyone are so great.
Yeah.
So when you say to people, take all of the tricky business of Christmas that you're already going through and now let me add another one, people don't go, that's an interesting point. If you allow me to embrace that with open arms, they just go, no, shut that down. I've got my own stuff to deal with. Naff off, mate. I don't even know those people. And
well,
to be honest...
Does that make me a weirdo, then?
No.
No, it doesn't. But this is my point, is you put yourself out there, CJ. You try and do the right thing. You've got to do that in the awareness that it could go wrong or it could go right. If you get a few people respond to it, that's chalk that down as a win. If nobody responds to it, then be gracious about it, but know that on your own terms, you sleep easy in your bed at night because you go, oh, I tried to do the right thing. If no one was coming with me, maybe the lesson that you take from that is just there's another way of doing it and I need to think about how I'm going to achieve that goal, but it's clearly not this way, so I need to think of a different way.
Yeah.
But you can't take it personally. And frankly, if you start judging other people for not immediately coming to your side of the fence...
It affects the point.
It affects the point, but it also will affect you. And, you know, you're the thing in this that we're trying to keep safe.
Can I offer you one word of advice?
Yes.
Well, a few more words, and it's more than one. Keep your side of the street clean. Don't worry about anything else. Just keep your side of the street clean.
I can't do it. I can't do that.
No, CJ, you haven't been able to do it up until this point.
Yeah.
Every time we tell ourselves we can't do something, all that guarantees is you will never do it.
Yeah. You did a really beautiful thing.
You did a kind thing.
And
mate,
actually, it paid dividends. You got £103 that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
That was great.
I mean, what's frustrating as well, because please don't take this in a rude way, because I genuinely like you guys and I love talk radio, but none of my lot will be listening to this.
Yeah.
And they obviously, why don't you do something good and kind of like I can't. I don't tell them. I sort of keep it to myself. Because I see people on Facebook that feed a homeless person, and then they take a selfie of themselves doing that, and you're like, that's not the point. You take a selfie of yourself helping a homeless person. You just put the whole point away.
Yeah, but look.
But the homeless person got fed.
Yeah.
They did, but you don't need to take a selfie of you.
No, look.
That's their thing.
CJ, you and I would look at that and go, ugh, you know, that's not
that,
the point.
I did.
Right, but the response that we are encouraged in the world to give is, ugh, that's not how you do that. And rather than just go, oh, well, and move on, you take it to heart and you're like, oh, no, that's not how you do that. That's not how you bloody do that. That's not how you do it. Why are they doing it like that? That's not how you do it, right?
Yeah.
And now, who has emerged from that situation badly? The homeless person who got fed? Not really. I'm sure they were delighted for the meal. The person who took the selfie, who got that little positive reinforcement from their clique of friends, and they're like, aren't I lovely? Guess you're lovely. No, not really, because they got what they got out of it.
Look at you. You've done a nice thing.
Yeah, I know, mate. I feel the same as you. But the two people who are in that selfie, who, without social media, you've had no interaction with, both are, you know, living relatively happy lives as a result of that specific thing. And the only person who isn't living a happy life as a result of that specific thing is you. What I'm saying is, all you have to do is go, ugh. We've lost the ability to tut and move on.
Yeah, exactly.
We are encouraged by social media and by the world around us that everything has to matter, everything has to be the worst it's ever been, isn't how it's done, this is all terrible. This is what we are encouraged to do now. Your life will remain unhappy for as long as you cling to the things that you cannot change. Bizarrely, let us look to our spiritual guru on the late night alternative, Ian Lee. Before he jumps tonight for the two-star thing, what does he repeat? The prayer of...
The
Serenity Prayer.
I'm not seeing it
yet. Oh,
right,
man.
Well, we'll, you know, if you've listened to the show, then I would imagine we've largely spoiled it for you already.
But it's okay.
Serenity Prayer, CJ. The Serenity Prayer, which Kath is now about to read.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Let it go. Be like Elsa, man. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Listen, and if you don't believe in God, doesn't matter. Just give it up to something bigger.
Something.
You know the biggest thing I know, CJ?
Yeah.
Advertising is key.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's a long intro. Where's this going, you're thinking? Where is this going?
Ooh.
Oh, really? A quarter to midnight.
A slapped bass, are you crazy?
But Kath, I've got work in the morning. Oh, yeah. Why are we on talk radio? Nothing good happens on talk radio.
It's like one of those late night American ones. It's like, hello, everybody, you're listening to late night American radio.
We're asking you to call in about joy.
Joy.
0344-499-1000.
Is anyone pregnant yet?
You can text into the show on 87222. Start your text with the word talk. Some people have already. Dear Kath and Rufus, excellent psycho babble on I'm a Celebrity, and I'm very jealous of Kath's Gold D of E award. But what gives me joy is gaining knowledge. Thanks, Andrew. Budgie's been in touch to say there's apparently one of those rage rooms in Birmingham. Thanks, Budge.
Smashing.
the refrigerated sandwich shop that we heard about earlier is apparently owned by actress Daniela Nardini's family.
Oh.
Fun fact.
Shocking.
That was a bloody long intro to get to that chorus, wasn't it, and make that bit make sense?
Totally worth it.
There is a little extra sass in my sarsaparilla.
That, of course, was the wonderful Maze with Joy and Pain.
You're in the erection section.
I was at a school disco once when the DJ said that. We were all about 14. Inappropriate!
And let's be honest, when you're 14, most moments of the erection section, so that would have been very confusing.
We were doing the smoochy dancing, but everyone's arms were fully locked.
Yeah.
There was nothing touching.
And a really stampy kind of two-step, trying to find the,
Yeah, romantic.
Dave's phoned in on his mobile. All right, Dave.
Hello, Rupert. How are you?
For
very
a point.
Nice to speak to you.
Very nice to speak to you too, Dave. Dave, we're asking people to share with us what makes them happy, what gives them joy.
Yes, at the moment I'm getting joy out of Schadenfreude.
Oh.
That's
mucky joy.
Yeah.
Tainted.
The worst kind of joy, Dave.
It is, I know, but I am loving it so much.
What recent examples would include?
It's just that Ian's successes in the jungle is really bothering Brentford Rafa, and it is just delicious to see. And I'm thoroughly enjoying every moment.
Well, listen. Could we not reframe this, not as being happy because it makes somebody else sad? Or was it, it's not enough that I should succeed, but that my enemy should fail, is, you know, the sort of definition of all of this. Just, just be happy that the boy's doing well. Can it not be that, Dave?
You know, just because someone objectionable is quivering with rage somewhere, we got to rise above. You got to do like Michelle Obama, you know, if they go low, you go high.
We go high! Love you, Michelle!
Absolutely. I would not stoop to that level, but it's just delicious watching someone rolling around in the mud, thrashing around with impotent rage, and it's fantastic to watch.
Dave, other than the more immediate and the most recent, what else is there? What is it that puts a little extra pep in your step?
Well, what puts a little extra pep in my step is just things that my kids say to me. I mean, at the moment, I've just had a perma ban from Twitter.
Who's enforced the ban?
It's Twitter themselves. Apparently, I'm a racist now.
Now, father. Do you remember that one?
That is what's making me laugh, because my eldest son keeps walking up to me and going, I hear you're a racist now.
Now, I'm worried about the territory we're going to find ourselves in here slightly,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, go on.
But let's find out whether you are actually a racist.
Okay, have we got 20 questions?
Yeah. Okay. What was the tweet in question that brought about the ban?
The tweet in question was, I was replying to someone who is a bit of a racist, who doesn't like Muslims and he lives in Blackpool. So I tweeted a picture of the Eiffel Tower. I couldn't find a picture of the Blackpool Tower, but there's a picture online of the Eiffel Tower, and it's sort of blown out at the top, so it looks like a minaret. And there are lots of people bending down, praying towards it.
Yeah.
And I just wrote back sarcastically saying, I've seen the redesigns for Blackpool Tower. I don't think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
Okay, but taken out of context, Twitter go, yeah, that's racist.
Yeah. Taken out of context, I just did not realise there's that many stupid people in the world who don't get sarcasm.
Come on, they're all on Twitter.
Yeah, okay.
Who knew
stupid people who don't get context would be on Twitter? That's
fine.
That can't be the case. Are you sure you're talking about Twitter, Dave? The website Twitter, the microblog site Twitter.
But I'm afraid what it means is that you are actually a racist.
Yeah.
So
massive racist, Dave. Can't believe you've done that.
You might want to rethink your thinking. Check yourself or you wreck yourself again.
I'm just going to go and wear a horsehair shirt or sit in a black room or something now. That's it.
Black room. There he goes again.
But
can't help himself.
Yeah. I tell you what, I've done one of those leaps of faith that Ian did tonight.
Really?
And it is, yes, I did it. I had to climb up the top of a 80-foot telegraph pole and then somehow clamber my way onto the top of it and then jump off and reach a trapeze.
What was the scenario in which you were forced to do this?
I went to a thing years ago.
Was it a BNP training camp thing? the veil finally slips.
There was a swastika at the top of it I had to take down. No, it was a guy called Tony Robbins. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. American lifestyle
yes.
sort of guru type thing. I went to one of his sort of things that they do for a week over in America. Mm-hmm. And that was part of it, was doing that. And it's terrifying. Because when you've got that, like Ian had, you've got the harness is all done up at the back. So you can't see that safety line that's there. Because you can't see it, your brain forgets it's there.
It's erased it. Yeah, it doesn't,
yeah,
it doesn't exist.
Yeah, completely erased it. So when you do that leap, it's almost like your life depends on it. It was quite something. I've never, ever experienced my legs turning to jelly literally before, and I had to jump because I thought, if I don't jump now, I'm just going to fall off.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it.
I'm wired up a little bit differently.
What, you wouldn't be able to stop doing it?
Yeah, I did a TV show once where they said I had to train to be a stuntman. I said they had to. They offered me the chance.
Training?
I
don't need that.
I don't need your thinking training. It was like they want to do an item. What does it take to be a stuntman? And I was like, yeah, I'm totally into that. And so I went to Pinewood to the James Bond lot.
Wow.
And
fantastic.
I got taught how to do high falls off buildings, and I jumped off a. What was it? The equivalent of a four-story building.
Gosh!
With no ropes.
Well, you do that sort of flip and land on your back in one of those crash mats.
That was it, yeah. A big inflatable thing, and it blows out the sides and everything. But the moment that you got to jump, it's really interesting, right? So I was working with these two pro stuntmen who are like, just jump, just jump, just jump. And it's like, mate, I am telling myself to jump, but I am not jumping. There is... this isn't that I haven't understood the instruction. It's that my body is literally stopping me from doing the thing that you are asking me to do. And it's... You've got to
Your body's
kind of,
going, what? Don't be an idiot.
No, don't be an idiot. And the other thing is that when you flip, you've got to go head first and you're evolutionarily wired up to protect your head at all costs. So it's actually getting it in your system that you're going to hurl off head first... But the joy of it, oh man. Once I'd done it the first time, I was just straight up doing it again. It was really great.
Yeah, once you've broken your duck doing something like that, it's one of those things you can't stop, isn't it? It's like a kid on a slide, isn't it?
Dave, have you got 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Right, don't go anywhere then, because we've got to do this.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Classic. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never even said a single word he said, but I helped him drink his wine. And he always had some mighty fine wine, singing joy to the world. All the boys and girls, joy to the fishies in the deep blue sea. we're talking about joy. Talk Radio 03444991000. What brings you joy? Phone in, let us know, be part of the conversation. That song brings me joy. The comedian Mitch Benn and Kirsty Newton do a regular kind of sing with the band thing, and then they have a Christmas special, and they ask me if I would join them on stage to sing any song, and then they would play as the band, and we knocked that out. My God, by the end of it, people were dancing on tables. It was sensational.
Well, it's a joyous song, isn't
it?
Oh,
how can you not love that song?
It's great.
But it also reminded me of another thing that brings me deep joy, which is, that's right, friends, I am one of those idiots with one of those scooters and scooting around. And I was scooting through central London.
When he says scooters, he means not a cool one like mine.
Not a Vespa.
But like a Teletubby.
Yeah, yeah, like a kid's scooter that a child would have, except adult size.
Now, before I met you, I thought they were silly, but I like you, so I want to see the best in you.
It's very good. See, look for the positives in people. It's a reflection of who you are.
Maybe I was wrong.
But I was scooting through central London very late one night, no one around, and I sang that at the top of my lungs, that with London all to myself.
Oh, lovely.
And if you're looking for something to do that brings you joy, go to a, not an area where children are sleeping, but late night, take yourself out somewhere so nobody can hear you, and just shout and scream and sing at the top of your lungs. Oh, my God, the joy you will feel.
Yeah, sometimes I sing inside my helmet on my scooter.
Yes.
I love it.
Love it.
I love it.
Yes.
No one knows.
No one knows.
No one can hear it.
And you're wearing that helmet. People don't even know who you are. It's like wearing a mask.
Yeah,
so even if people do hear, who cares? Move on. Dave's still on the line. Dave, we haven't forgotten you. Fear not.
That's okay. No worries at all. As you just reminded me, I bought a skateboard last year.
You never.
I did, yeah. Well, my 8-year-old said, Dad, I want to learn how to skateboard. And I thought, wow, I haven't done skateboarding since I was a kid. So I went and bought one and said, come on, let's go.
So it was for the 8-year-old, not for you?
No, it's, well, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed it just as much as he did. I thought, oh, this is awesome.
Can I ask how old you are, Dave?
I'm 49.
49? Yeah, you see, it hurts a bit more when you fall off than when you're a bit older, doesn't it?
Did you have the adequate protection? Did you, like, proper helmet up and everything?
No. Were you wearing a condom, Dave?
No, he's got an 8-year-old.
Yeah. That's a really sick thing to say. I took my 8-year-old out. Were you wearing a condom? What's wrong with you?
We can only apologise, Dave. We're into the final hour. The gloves are off.
Van is sick filth.
Unlike the day I was born. Yeah, but, you know, sharing things you loved when you were a kid with your kids is, you know, joyful, isn't it?
It is a thing that's going to happen.
Oh, it is. We watched. I watched the original Planet of the Apes with my eldest one there a couple of days ago. And that was fantastic. Just seeing his face at the end.
Yeah.
Because they don't make films like that for kids anymore. It's all fairly obvious what's going to happen. But when he saw that final scene, his jaw just dropped.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And I thought, yeah, I remember what that was like when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Have you watched the remake? Well, not the remakes, but like the prequels, the new ones, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and War for Planet of the Apes, and all that.
I got a bit fed up with them. I didn't think they were going anywhere, so I didn't see the last one. Now, I know you're a big fan of Discovery, aren't you? I haven't watched that yet, but have you watched The Orville?
Well, no, I haven't.
That's fantastic.
Is it? Because I read a lot of... for anybody who doesn't know, Seth MacFarlane, who is the daddy of Family Guy and American Dad and does all the voices and whatever, a fairly knuckles-up comedian... Or writer, right. I don't know how best to describe Seth MacFarlane, but a jack of all trades, a beautiful singing voice as well, has released a couple of albums.
Has written
a, well, it was sort of, the trailers made it look like a kind of Red Dwarf kind of thing, a funny sitcom set in space. But then when it was released, it turned out it wasn't really a comedy. It was...
So you
have seen it. Here's me ham-fistedly trying to explain what it is. Dave, give us the lowdown on The Orville.
It forms part... It's like the worthy successor to the original Star Trek and Star Trek The Next Generation before... You know, and they still had a bit of humour in them.
Yeah.
But then they got all deep and meaningful and right up their own fundaments. And this is just what it's like. I mean, it does have a bit of comedy in it, which, most situations do. But they have standalone, proper Star Trek-type stories. But a lot of them are actually reflecting on what is relevant today.
As all the best sci-fi is.
Well, exactly. The original Battlestar Galactica, the remake of Battlestar Galactica reflected a lot of what was going on in the Iraq War, one of the series. It's quite a brave piece of TV, that. But there's one where one of the people on board is a male, and he has a male husband, but that's just the way that their race, their species are. They're both males, and they have a baby girl, and they want to change its sex.
Right.
Because they don't want a girl, because they want a boy. And so it reflects there's a lot of things going on. There's another one where one planet, they have this religion and they think they're superior to all other religions and species. And so, there's lots of things that are going on now in the world that's reflected in that. But then there's some, some slapstick moments as well that genuinely make you laugh out loud, Norm MacDonald plays this amorphous blob. And he's very funny, It's great. I'd recommend it. I really would.
I've been recently falling down a bit of a Norm MacDonald rabbit hole on YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he's got his own talk show now.
Has he? I didn't realise.
Yeah, I think it is called Norm MacDonald Live. But because he's so well-liked in the world of American comedy, his guests have been unbelievable. He's had Jim Carrey, Jerry Seinfeld, David Letterman... those are just the first three that spring to mind. But he's so funny and he's so well liked that the quality of the interviews is second to none. And so definitely look them up. They're all on YouTube. But then it turns out because he's got a quite vocal fan base that people on YouTube have done a lot of the best of Norm MacDonald and things like that, like extra videos on YouTube. So now every time I go to YouTube, it just recommends that I watch more and more Norm MacDonald.
I know what you want.
And he is a very, very, very funny man.
Yeah, he disappeared for a while, didn't he? I mean, he was around about sort of 20 years ago and he's all over the shop. Then he just disappeared. And the next time I saw him pop up was on a program called The Middle, which was an American sort of family sitcom.
Yeah.
He appeared there as a couple of cameo roles on that.
Well, I think he had a bit of a patch because he'd done Saturday Night Live and then was fired from that and then had a bit of a movie career and was still doing stand-up. But I think that the stuff that we got in this country just wasn't the stuff he was on. So, you already were probably a bit of a comedy nerd if you knew who he was. But then, even the most hardcore of nerds would have found it hard to find Norm MacDonald material in the last few years.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, all on YouTube now, of course, the great joy of the
brilliant
internet.
Brilliant, I'll give that a look.
Yeah, do. Very funny man. I watched a spot he did on Conan O'Brien last night, and he just went on Conan O'Brien and told a joke that the chauffeur that Conan had sent to pick him up to bring him to the show told him in the car on the way there. And that was the entire time that he used up. And Dave, genuinely, because we have you on the line and no other callers, as I keep repeating, if you are listening to this and would love to share with us the things that make you joyful, we just want to talk to you. 0344 499 1000. Ring in. You will almost certainly get on pretty much immediately. But because we've got this time to kill, shall I try and ham-fistedly remember this joke that...
Norm
MacDonald told on Conan. So... A moth.
Are you going to tell it in the style of Rick Schneese, or
oh, we can't talk about Rick Schneese. That guy is not allowed back in the building.
Ah, damn it! I was looking forward to hearing him again.
No. I don't think that man will ever be broadcasting. Certainly not in this country ever again. I've heard rumours.
You were put on gardening leave for 2 days, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Just for not turning up on time. But we covered it and told people I had a cold. So this joke, right? Let me think. A moth goes to a chiropodist, and the chiropodist says to the moth, "So, how are you?" And the moth says, "Not good, doc, not good. Some mornings I wake up and I just don't know if I can even get out of bed. And I turn to the old woman next to me, and I know we've been married for so long, but she just feels like a stranger. And I look at her face, and I just wonder how we could ever have loved one another or shared anything together. She just seems so distant from me, and it all seems so cold. And the shrubbist says to him, oh, that's terrible. He says, well, you know, other things must be okay. He says, well, you say that, Doc. He says, I go to work and just same old, same old, same old faces, same old people in the office, just grinding it out, just joylessly and no enthusiasm. And I can't blame them. I feel exactly the same about the work that we do. None of it matters. I'm not contributing anything. It's just a paycheck, and yet they ask more and more and more. The job just takes and takes and takes. And the shrubberist says to him, yeah, but, you know, it can't all be bad. I mean, you know, all right, maybe things aren't great between you and your wife, but do you have a family? He says, oh, do I have a family? He says, my daughter's just had the test results back from the clinic, and I'll be honest, nobody's entirely sure if she's going to make it, and the costs involved, even in providing the treatment, are just crippling. I'm already in debt over my head. I can't see how I'm going to pay the bills that earn a whole bunch of new medical costs and bills that are going to come our way. And what are you as a father if you can't provide that kind of care and that kind of cover? He says, well, if you only got a daughter, he says, oh, no, I've got a son. But every time I look into that schlub's face, I've seen the same kind of cowardice that's haunted me all my life. Maybe if that cowardice even showed a flicker of bravery, I'd take the revolver that sits on my bedside table and I'd put it in my mouth and put an end to it all. And the chiropodist says to him, well, this all sounds incredibly bleak, but you need a psychiatrist. Why are you here? And the moth says, well, the light was on. And Norm MacDonald makes that joke even darker and take even longer. Literally at the end of it, Conan O'Brien just goes, Norm MacDonald, everyone, who will be hosting Saturday Night Live this Saturday. We'll be back after this break. That's how he uses the entire time.
Wow.
Oh, my days. Such bravery.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
How can you not love that, eh?
Yeah, that is absolutely superb.
Well, look, Dave, we thank you. Is there anything else
that
brings you joy that you would like to share with the, literally, from what I can work out by the number of people phoning in, three other people who have got the radio on as they sleep?
No. What's going to give me joy now is going to my bed and having a kip myself.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
fair
that's
enough.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, a lovely sleep. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Dave,
absolutely.
Thanks for sharing your joy with us, and yeah, we took joy in your call.
Try to stop being a racist.
I will, Dave. I shall let you know when I resurrect.
Yes, do. Tweet us. As indeed,
I will, Dave. Don't worry.
As indeed anybody listening can, at Talk Radio, or indeed call on 0344 499 1000. You can text and join in. Simply start your text with the word talk and then send your message to 87222. Let's take some adverts early in order for these switchboards just to light up!
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over.
Late night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Joy in phoning up a radio station and getting straight on air. 0344 499 1000. Who's phoned in the switchboard? We got a couple of calls
coming in.
We blooming well have as well. Who do we have? It's Dom in Manchester. Dom, are you there?
Dom,
there you are, old stick.
That's the best intro I've ever had in my life.
Oh, you should see how we finish you off. If you thought the intro was good. Dom, how lovely to hear from you.
Nice to speak to you.
We're talking.
You days off, didn't you, last week?
Yeah, I got laryngitis.
Really?
I got laryngitis, and then I had an absolutely stinking cold on the back of it.
You do like 3 months on the West End or something, and then like just 1 week on the talk radio, and that's it, you're off?
This place is riddled with disease.
That's what we learn. Yeah, it's infectious. Talk radio, it's infectious.
Literally.
Literally.
That American chap that covers for you.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about him. We've been advised by our lawyers to leave that in the dirt where it belongs.
Very wise, very wise.
Dom, what brings you joy?
What brings me joy? Do you know what actually brings me joy? Genuinely, I was going to do an old jokey thing, but the difference that Ian is making on that silly programme at the moment is fantastic.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Because I do the Ian Lee quotes, and I troll through the Twitter and ignore all the people that are calling him a knobhead, but look at all the positives. And I tell you what, it's turning around. There is so many more positives and negative tweets about him. It's fantastic.
I think he did himself a world of favours tonight. You know, it's a tricky old thing because I think everybody else goes into it and there's a pretense of, oh, you know, we're just on it for a personal challenge and whatever. And whereas Ian was the one guy who went, no, I want to promote my radio show. I'm after a decent paycheck and whatever. He's kind of the most honest. But then I think because of how he is, people think it's a bit put on or it's a bit fake. But actually, he seems to me to be the most genuine one in there. And I think that the fact that you could really tell he'd overcome something tonight and that he'd dug deep within himself, he'd conquered some demons, he'd provided for the camp. But then on the back of it was very genuine and interested in what Bex had to say about mental health and those sorts of things. I think he showed his true colours there, which is he's a bloody decent stick.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not even just that. It's the big picture of things. I think, like Matt Haig does with his books, I think what Ian's sort of doing on that programme is he's raising awareness that people are actually taking notice and talking about things. Someone as vacuous as that Bex, and apologies to anyone who likes her, do you think she would ever have spoken about anything so intimate and personal like that on TV?
Actually, I think she does. I think she does charity work where she goes out. Yeah, she does. But, you know, she's being painted in a certain way. They're all being proposed as kind of two-dimensional characters. So Ian's supposed to be the edgy one who might have a meltdown. Mm-hmm. And Stanley's the nice old affable gentleman. And, you know, Toff is delightful jolly hockey sticks. But, of course, there's more to every single person in there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, Toff, I just think, is adorable. You just want to put her in your pocket and just... She's like a CBeeb come to life sort of thing.
There's certainly a waft of the tweenie.
definitely. But I just don't get why everyone's so adoring Stanley so much. I mean, he's a 77-year-old Tory toff who's privileged all through the wazoo, through his whole life. And it seems to be 20, 30-year-olds are all saying, oh, leave our Stanley alone, he's brilliant, he's that.
I wonder whether they leave Donald Trump alone, because he's 71. Exactly. No one seems to have any problem telling them him what they think, do they?
And also, there's been a couple of tweets I've seen about Stanley about, you know, he can't compete on medical grounds, and a few people have said, then why are you on the show? If you're excused for the whole reason that we like seeing people on the show is that you are going to be challenged and you're going to have to do some things that make you uncomfortable. If you've already been excused from them on medical grounds, I'm not necessarily saying that's Stanley's fault, to be honest, but I can see why the producers thought Stanley would be a good booking, and look, we're talking about him, so evidently, you know, he was.
But also, that's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Putting someone in there who can't pull his weight.
Yes. Yes, you're excused.
Yeah.
Because actually, the few things he has been asked to do, the first challenge where it was him and Shappy jumping out the plane, he got that, he gnaws that up. The one where it was for the head start, the one individual thing he had, he lost that. So actually, when he has been asked to actually prove his mettle, he's not really...
He was quite good with the testicles.
He was, yeah. No, was, fair play.
That's Bollingham or something.
Well, Dom, the switchboard has lit up.
How could you, Dom? He's a pensioner.
Yeah. He's that dear sweet old granddad, and you come on here to besmirch his name, Dom. Have you bloody? This is exactly the sort of northerner that we good, right-minded Tories down here in London. That's why we reject you.
I'll tell you what, there's a 93-year-old who's just been made unemployed. I'm sure he'll fit in the house really well. He's probably Robert something. He's old.
Yeah, he's old. He'll go in. Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing him next year. Listen, Dom, as much as we would love to talk more about I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, we're not going to. So bless you and thank you for calling. Keep up the good work in pulling out Ian's quotes and thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Rufus, and thank you, friend.
Hi, Dom. Don't be bitter.
Alice. Oi, oi.
Yeah, good. Yeah. You just put a number on Twitter and set a call, and this seemed like the right thing to do.
Oh, God, love you, Alice.
It was the right thing.
I don't know if you caught much of what we were talking about with Dom. It's about...
No, I caught none of it.
Oh, well, possibly for the best, because he was talking about I'm a Celebrity, and what I want to talk about is what gives you joy? What is that little thing in your life that just puts a little extra chilli sauce on your sandwich?
Oh, my God, when you win £1 on a scratch card, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I won £20 on a scratch. I don't like to go on about it, and regular listeners will know I've not really mentioned it. But I won £20 on a scratch card the other week. Absolutely made up.
£20, though, is on the way to weighing heavily as a responsibility. A pound is
yeah,
a little nugget of joy.
Do you cash it in, or do you buy 20 scratch cards?
Well, I bought four of the £5 scratch cards and won nothing, and that is a new revelation.
That's
I haven't
life.
Shared that with the listeners yet. So, you know, ups and downs, the great roller coaster of existence.
Is that a celebrity thing, buying the £5 scratch card?
Of course it is. I've never seen them. Have you, Alice?
No, I've never seen
the high prize on the £5 scratch card, I think, is like £1 million.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, the top prize is like £1 million. So, because I'd won £20, I was like, well, this is basically...
It's your day.
Four free goes at trying to win £1 million. Anyway, I didn't. I think it's
would you tell us if you had?
Yes, I would, yeah. Yeah, I'd really shout it from the rooftops.
Yeah, £1 million on a scratch card.
I'd get T-shirts printed up and distributed to every caller. But is it...
Well,
can I ask you this, Alice? Is it about winning a pound on Twitter? Is it about winning a pound on a scratch card, or is it about winning £2 on a scratch card? Because when you just win a pound, all I think is, oh, I've just got my money back, I've just got a free scratch card. Whereas £2, it's like, oh, I'm actually up.
I think a pound's better.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because you've neither lost nor won. You're still in the limbo. You're still in purgatory for how much you could win.
Does this philosophy infect other aspects of your life?
Oh, no, it's just scratch cards.
Just scratch cards, where you're playing for the draw. That's the best possible result.
What was the guy before me who called in talking about I'm a Celebrity?
Well, yeah, he said that what gives him joy is seeing that people have turned a bit of a corner in their feelings about Ian Lee.
Who's Ian Lee?
He's the man that normally hosts the show, Alice, who I'm standing in for.
Oh.
And rather brilliantly, I'm guessing you're not watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here either.
Oh, no, I was just on Twitter.
Yeah, and I said,
mucking around.
Call in. So you're a first-time caller. You don't even know the radio station you're on right now.
Oh, no, it's just one of my friends answered their phones when I was trying to walk home from the date. So this is what I'm doing.
Right, scratch everything else.
Well, you're walking
tell
home
us about
from a
this date. Now we're in, Alice.
If we had popcorn, we'd be grabbing it.
Yes. Right. Alice, where are you in the world?
I'm in London.
You're in London. And can we get we don't need the specifics, but what do you do in for a job sort of thing?
A bit of everything.
Bit of everything, right? Okay, jack of all trades, master of none. Familiar with that on the old CV. And so, who was the chap again? Probably best to avoid names, but where did we know the chap from?
I met him in a pub.
So an IRL.
Yeah.
In these days where everybody's swiping left and right and whatnot.
Very old-fashioned.
Yeah. You met him in the meat space.
Yeah, like a wild man out there.
Oh, my. A stray. You snagged yourself a stray. And he cleaned him. He hosed himself off. He put on a fresh pair of underpants. And
I hope
was tonight the first date?
It was, yeah.
Ooh.
And again, old-fashioned, she's walking home alone.
Yes.
You don't want to kiss until, like, date 7.
Really?
Can I swear?
No.
No, you can't, Alice.
Okay.
We should have probably warned you of that. What happens is we dump out for 15 seconds when you swear, so I'm not entirely sure when we catch back up or whether people will have just heard it go a bit weird. Sure, it's fair enough. You didn't even really know. You were phoning a radio station, so...
No,
we're not going to hold it against you, but, yeah, can't drop F-bombs, Alice. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thanks, guys. If you don't care about them at all, then you can sleep with them on date one. It's not like a rule.
Yeah.
I just want to ruin their lives and go for date 8 for the first kiss.
It's date 8 for the first kiss.
Date 8?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking...
By date 8, he's in the friend zone, isn't he? I've heard of these terms. I've never used them before. I've been married for nearly 15 years.
Oh, well, you shouldn't be taking advice of me. If you've been married for 15 years, that's the good thing. That's good stuff, right?
Yeah, well, we met in a pub and I think I fell into his mouth drunk. So there was no holding off. To the whatever date, because before we dated, I was in there.
You'd already shown him everything in the stock room before he'd even, even seen the shop window.
No, but, you know, there was snogging.
Yeah, a bit of snogging.
It was old-fashioned then. It was.
And does this has this policy proven to be one worth adhering to, Alice?
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Nice.
My housemate's looking at me. I'm on the top radio.
You just explained that you're on the radio. Yeah, it's very fun.
Who are you talking to?
So, anyway, talk of policy aside, how did it go?
It went well, I think. It went well.
Great. Well, congratulations.
He was much older than I remembered he was, though.
That's what happens in the pub.
Yeah, it's in a dimly lit room after a few delightful single malts.
I thought he was about 27, 28, but he has an 11-year-old son, so...
Well, he could be 27.
He could be 23, if we're going to that logic.
Where are you from originally, Alice?
I'm from Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Glasgow. Alice, thank you so much for phoning in.
Thank you. You've really made me write the tie out very nicely.
Oh, well. He won't get a chance to say that until date 40 on your graph. But thanks, Alice. Susie, you phoned in as well.
Hello.
You all right, lover?
Right, yeah. I'm waiting for a coach, and I have a horrible feeling it's gone past me.
Oh, no.
That's not joy.
I'm stranded in Reading.
Where are you trying to get to?
I'm getting the Reading to Plymouth, and they were very unspecific about the instructions, and they said a lay-by, and I'm at some kind of lay-by with a National Express sign, and I've just seen a coach go past and then back on the main road, and I have a horrible feeling, but I'm on Coach Tracker online, thank God, so...
Right, OK.
Maybe they'll come back for me.
Well, this...
What would bring me joy right now is for the coach to turn up.
Yeah, I think we'd
feel a bit better for you too. Yeah,
we're slightly on edge, I'll be honest, Susie. We're in a lovely warm studio.
I've just said that. I think you're a good omen because it's just... I think this is it.
Oh, great!
Hey. Oh, thank goodness.
It's
anyway,
here.
I don't think I can get on the coach talking because everyone will be asleep and hate me.
Susie, you've given us joy.
Yay.
We feared we were experiencing a woman in peril and that hasn't happened. There is joy.
It just went past and it hasn't turned in.
Oh, no.
The highs and lows of life.
Oh, God.
That's the third time.
I don't think I can take this, Kath.
I even tweeted them and said, can you let me know the specifics? Because I'm on my own getting on this bus. And they said, go to this lay-by, and I'm literally stood in a lay-by.
Go to this lonely, dark lay-by and stand by yourself.
It's not even that dark. There's a 24-hour McDonald's, so there is
good.
Hope.
Good.
Yeah. Worst comes to the worst. You can maybe get your head down over the waft of Happy Meals. And when you eventually smell the maple syrup warming up, you'll know it's time to awake.
I went in, but I was very restrained and had a cup of tea, but it's
that resolve can only hold so long.
You've got to go and have a McBlowout.
Yeah.
I see the coach coming back. If it doesn't pull in, then it's clearly looking for me, but not looking in the right place.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dear.
Susie.
No, I am a woman in peril, but there's a hotel nearby.
Susie, we will keep... Don't... hang on a second. Are you all right on your minutes, on your mobile?
If we
keep you hanging on for a little while...
I've just seen a coach go past again. This is four times now, and it's not coming to the lay-by.
It's like the end of Titanic. Have you got a whistle? Cut back!
Yeah, I have to tweet them again and say, oi.
Should we tweet them?
Yeah, right.
I tweeted them and they DM'd me because it was very unspecific and I thought, I'm not waiting in a country road in the dark
crazy.
I don't know the specifics. But I think it's gone past.
Right, this is
right,
crazy business.
Hang on then. We're,
can anyone who's got Twitter handy now, can you all copy this
right,
message?
Susie, what is...
come back for me, please.
What is the National Express...
It's number 406 to Penzance, and I've literally seen it go past four times now.
Right.
And I'm stood in the lit-up area rather than standing on a country road, which is where they wanted me to stand. So.
What is National Express's Twitter handle?
At National Express, I think, customer service.
All right, National... Express...
It's just National Express, isn't it?
Oh, is this them coming back? Seriously, this is like a sitcom. This is
the fourth
time.
You.
This is why I tweeted them, to make sure they didn't do this to me.
You've left Susie in a lay-by.
Go and get Susie from...
I wonder if he's got the radio on. I say he, because I just presume it's a he. Right?
Yes.
She's...
It could just as easily be a lady awful coach driver.
Yeah.
Go and get Susie from the lay-by.
I'm waving.
Opposite the 24-hour Mackie D's. Please.
This is exactly what I feared would happen.
I'll
stand in a well-lit area with an actual National Express sign, and where they said to stand was a lay-by in the middle of nowhere.
What's the number again of the coach?
406 to Penzance.
Right, here we go. This is what I'm writing. Hey!
I've literally been past five.
You've left Susie in a lay-by in Reading. She's talking to us on talk radio. Where's the 406 to Penzance? Right, I'm tweeting that bad boy.
Thank you.
Right, retweet that, everyone.
Yeah, I've also tweeted... Hang on, when it reloads. At National Express... The 406 to Penzance. Go and get Susie from the lay-by opposite the 24-hour Mackie D's, please. The nation is concerned. We're tracking her on talk radio.
Oh, this is hilarious.
So, yes.
This is like something out of Kirby Enthusiasm. I need the incidental music to be playing while I'm pacing up and down.
Right. Right, we're gonna try and keep you on the line.
Oh, bless you.
All right, Susie, don't go anywhere. We're going to take some ads, and then hopefully during that time we will have an update from either National Express about the whereabouts of your coach, or we will have used the bullying power of National Broadcast to have them provide you and one of the better Ubers to collect you and drive you all the way to Cornwall.
The retweets have begun, Susie, by the way.
The campaign has started. Can Susie get to Cornwall?
Unleash hell.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Susie, are you still there?
Hello, I'm on the coach.
Yeah!
I've got to be quiet because people are asleep.
Sure. We don't have to whisper, I just realised. That's what always happens, isn't it? Sorry, yes.
He said, you're lucky, we don't normally stop here. And I'm like, well, I asked them. I tweeted.
That's the power of talk.
He did not have the radio on, but I think the universe willed it to happen. So thank you, Nation.
Twitter's gone mad. I think you may be top trending.
We better call off the search.
This is what I've always wanted.
Oh, well, look, safe journey back to Penzance.
Thank you. I'm actually going to Plymouth. And I've got Sarah Merkin's audio book to listen to, which has kept me company today. So I'm looking forward to the rest of that.
Oh, that's a joy, isn't it?
When this has given me joy. Thank you.
Yay. Well, you've given us joy. We're delighted that you're safe and heading homeward.
Thank you so much.
Cheers,
I'm looking forward to it on Twitter now.
Well,
thank you.
That's Susie. What a joyous thing to have happened, friends. Hopefully we can keep the joy wheel rolling with Campbell. Campbell!
Hello.
Oi, oi, Savaloy.
How you doing, mate? All right?
Yeah, bobbing along nicely, Campbell. We just had a right result.
I know, mate. That brought me joy as well. I thought I was absolutely brilliant. Standing at the side of the motorway for a woman at that time of night, not what you want, is it?
Not even a little bit. There was genuinely a part of my mind thinking, how quickly could I get home to get in my car, to get to a lay-by in Reading?
Yeah.
You know, it's just bad times all round. But she's on the coach. Well done, National Express.
Time.
Yeah.
Back a beer to that.
Yes, quite. You seem like a ruddy, decent chap, Campbell.
A ruddy, decent chap? I don't really understand that, but I'll take it.
It's a good thing, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Top man, top man.
I will take that.
Yeah. Campbell, we're talking about joy and the things that give us joy.
One thing that doesn't give me joy is having to wait to the eighth date for a winch, anyway, I'll tell you that. Let's see. Is that for real, man? I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, listen.
Each to their own, you know, each to their own. I'm all about that.
But, I mean, that's a lot of Nando's, isn't it, before you get any payback?
That's about £400 worth of Nando's, mate.
That's a lot of peri-peri chicken before you move on to the hot sauce, if you catch my drift.
I do indeed.
But interestingly, Campbell, the pair of you, Hibernians, and she's left Edinburgh, and you're still...
No, I'm Glasgow, mate. Well, I'm just outside Glasgow, Gourock. We're about 15 miles west of Glasgow.
Right, got you. Oh, hang on, 15 miles west? Oh, right, yeah.
I southwest.
Blooming love Glasgow. Glasgow, oh, yeah, whatever. I'm from
London,
I'm biased, you know. It's a brilliant place. It's on a bit of an up, right? You know, some of the stuff that was dragging it down, that's changed. There's a few quid coming in through the city. It's a fantastic spot for a night out.
Sicarianism is gone, you know. And
yeah.
Well, it's diminished a lot, hasn't it?
It's not gone. I won't say it's gone, but...
It's a lot better than it used to be. That's what I hear from the people that I like most who live up that way.
And I had a lovely time in the Trossachs last year. It was fantastic. Oh.
Kath, please, get your mind out of the gutter.
No, seriously, I'd never been to Scotland before, and I went twice last year, and it was absolutely brilliant and everything I hoped it would be, and people were amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
it is incredible.
Just wide open space, and the air was clean.
The Trossachs are amazing. They're so close to Glasgow as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? 20 minutes in the car and you're there. Whereabouts did you go in the Trossachs, do you remember?
Well, I think we were near Loch Lomond.
It would have been if it was the Trossachs South.
Yeah, you know, general touristy spot for someone who's never been that way before. But just gorgeous. Oh, and the way that the day can change in the space of half an hour, you know. One minute it was glowery black, and then the next moment the sun came out and it was a different place, you know, just beautiful.
Aye, we had a wee bit of rain, sunshine, everything, you know, today, a bit of snow and everything.
When we went to Edinburgh, the cabbie said to us, the good thing about Edinburgh is if you don't like the weather, hang on 10 minutes.
aye, give it 10 minutes, you'll be fine.
Exactly, it was great.
It's just further out that way, it's just, you get eaten to death by mosquitoes the moment the sun comes out properly.
Aye, they're midges, come on.
Midges.
Don't get mosquitoes up here.
Apologies. My dad's from Dundee, so I grew up with everything being midges, and then somebody says to me, I think I'll find that mosquito. I mean, oh, sorry.
Probably talks that he's singing a song, eh? Goes up and down every wee word in that can, eh?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. It's a bra brack moonlack neck danak.
This is a bra brack moonlack neck right now, mate. Yeah. It's cleared up a wee bit anyway, I'll tell you that.
So, wait until the eighth date, bad times. Being from your neck of the woods, good times.
The West Coast.
Is that the thing that gives you joy?
Aye, you know, it does, you're right. A couple of beers and a bit of food in Glasgow, your sound check and tikka masala, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
A wee kebab after a night out and that.
Yeah. Couple
what more could you really want?
Couple
I mean,
of
come
pints
on.
Are heavy.
Couple of pints are best. A chicken tikka masala, you're sorted, man.
Tikka masala.
Yeah. Listen, man,
you're living the dream.
You already had people who were going to buy what you are selling, but we bought it hard, man.
Oh, you got to try. Do you get Ducktales down there?
Ducktales?
Ducktales.
Ducktales? Oh, woo!
Ducktales? I love
that. He was Scottish, wasn't he?
Scrooge McDuck. Yes.
Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah.
I think that's a wee bit before my time, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming back, man. I can't. Disney are just doing new DuckTales, and you know who's playing Scrooge McDuck?
No.
David Tennant.
Shut up.
True fact.
Oh, legend.
Yeah,
legend.
True fact. In fact,
Church, I don't think it brings me joy.
If you, if being as how we clearly have no problem playing any music we can get our hands on, they did release the new DuckTales, the rejigged DuckTales theme tune. So if you can find that, let's have a blast of that. Campbell, you've been a tremendous addition to the show.
Thank you very much, Rufus. It's been lovely to speak to you both.
It's been a complete joy to speak to you.
And that cigarette sounds delicious down the phone.
Sorry.
Chicken tikka masala, a couple of pints of DuckTales and a lovely fag. Hey, and I'm not prepared to wait till D-Eat. This is either happening now or it's not happening at all.
All right, Hen.
All right, Hen. I hope you're ready for a McDonald's, because under my kilt I've got a quarter of pounder.
Boom!
Campbell, we say goodbye to you, but we say hello to the new thing from DuckTales.
Oh!
Joy! Woohoo!
Oh!
Yeah! That's how we do it on a Tuesday night, Mother Hubbards! Oh, we've got 7 minutes to go and one caller on the line. Hello, Eddie!
Hello!
You all right, Cockle?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Oh, we're full of joy, Eddie. We're full of joy.
Wonderful.
If you squeeze
hello.
Us, joy
oh.
just...
Oh, two for one!
Hello, yes, sorry, I'm friend. I'm Natasha, I'm Eddie's friend.
Are you on the extension in the spare room?
No, we're sitting in our living room with students, and we were on Twitter, and we were like, let's say hi to Rufus Hound.
Oh, Eddie and Natasha sitting in a tree.
Platonically.
P-L-A-T-O-N-I-C-A-L-L.
We're on the same court.
You're on the same... which university are you at?
University of Winchester.
Ooh! Yeah, what are you studying? Pony studies. Ooh!
We do have a polo team, but we're not studying polo.
There's no need to study that anymore.
Yeah.
No. 3A
yeah,
stars.
We're both comedy students.
Oh.
Oh, lovely. Is there a comedy course at Winchester?
There is. There's one in Salford as well, and then there's one at the Blackpool College of Leicester and something, apparently.
Seems like a very big building.
Sounds like they're having a laugh. Probably just as well for a comedy course.
Well, we're paying our grand, so...
Yeah. So what does studying comedy mean at university?
Well, I'm the... It only started 3 years ago, so I'm in my last year now. So the modules I do are a bit different to Eddie, because he's a year below.
Right.
So I'm doing an advanced comedy writing module at the moment. So I'm writing a comedy feature film.
Nice.
And I'm doing a Shakespeare comedy, and I'm also doing a one-woman dissertation play as well.
Oh, this sounds awesome, Natasha.
Why didn't they do good courses like this when we were at college?
Because, I mean, we're going to be unemployed.
Well, you're having fun now.
Yeah, not only unemployed, Natasha, but more importantly, unemployable.
Unbelievably, my mum has said that to me already.
Yeah,
well, no, I believe it.
Yeah, yeah, I've got kids. I'd have been thinking that on day one. Hopefully, yeah. This won't last too long, and then she'll realise to do biochemistry or something instead.
Yeah, that's pretty much what my dad was going for, and I was like, Dad, I can't spell biochemistry. I don't think I could study it.
But who cares? Because you're living the dream, Natasha.
Well, you know, I have to say, I'm a massive, massive fan of your film, The Wedding Video, and I watch it with my mum at least once a year, and we just sit down together, and we're like, she watched a really, like, nice, funny film that's, like, lovey-dovey as well. We cry every time.
Oh.
Every single time, we're weepy. So it's, like, one of my favourite films, so big fan.
Oh, bless you, Natasha. Yeah, we had a blast making that movie, and I really love it, although even I, as possibly the most invested person in that film having happened, I'm perfectly prepared to admit the last 20 minutes make no sense at all.
It doesn't need to. It fits with the tone of the film.
That's it, right?
It's just... The rest of the film makes no sense.
Yeah, sure.
So, Eddie... as the year below, do you feel that the seniors have had a better run of things, or would it probably be possibly more the case that with the course only having been 3 years long, Natasha was breaking the headland, is that a thing? Breaking the...
Carry on, push through.
Push through. Don't draw attention to it, Rufus, move on. Were they basically making up as they went along for her year, and by the time you rolled around, they had a better idea of what they were doing?
Yeah, I feel like everything they didn't like, they said it, and then we've got it good in second year.
Nice.
We've got all the best parts.
So what are you doing?
Well, we're doing a sort of collaborative performance. We're a rap group called the Biscuit Boys. Shout out to the Biscuit Boys.
Nice. Big up.
And then in semester two, we've got a stand-up module, which I'm sort of bricking it for. Using my words wisely there.
Yeah, well played. do you want one word about the trick of stand-up comedy?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Right.
I'll write it down.
Boothby Graffo, one of the great stand-up comics of his or any other generation, once said to me, stand-up comedy is 70% confidence, 30% material. And once I really understood what he meant by that, it changed everything for me. I did a gig one night where it was going well from the outset and I was killing. And then the next night I had exactly the same material. This is when I was, you know, an open mic act. And I had exactly the same material. I went out the next night and it just wasn't going over. But because it had gone so well the night before, I was like, but I know this does make people laugh. And I just sort of snapped slightly and went, oh, come on, join in, laugh, right? And it was so out of character to say that to an audience, but what it did was it showed them that I had confidence in what I was doing, and from that point onwards, it went really, really well. Now, I'm not saying you've got to insist that the audience laugh, but when you do stand-up... when you do stand-up or performance of any kind, it's about presenting what you're doing with confidence, because as long as you're confident, people think that you know what you're doing and they will trust you to do it.
They want to feel like you're in charge and you know what's going on, don't
That's
they?
That's it. Nobody's going to find somebody funny who they don't think has any right to be there or any clue what they're doing. And years later, I bumped into Boothby Graffo and I said to him, do you know, you gave me some words of advice that lived with me, changed my entire career. He went, all right, well, what was that then? I said, it was that stand-up is 70% confidence, 30% material. He went, I wouldn't have said that. No, you absolutely did. You absolutely did. It changed everything for me. He went, no, it's not 70% confidence, 30% material. It's about 90% confidence. So if that's of any use to you at all in your degree, then know that I could only have been a shadow as helpful to you as you were to me calling in at this late hour. We will see everyone again, or at least talk to you in 21 hours.